commission meeting dated March 31st. It is 7:07 PM, March 31st, 2016. Start with public comment, and I don't see anybody signed up for a public comment. Did anybody want to make a public comment here? You sure? Fine. All right, we'll move on then to the open the public hearing. And I don't see anybody here for commenting on the public hearing either, unless anybody wants to make a comment on the public hearing portion of this meeting. If not, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing portion of this meeting.
So moved.
All right. Discussion, should we vote? Should we vote? All say aye.
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 Any ayes? No ayes. All right, scheduled items. Number three on the agenda. Approval of the minutes from January 26, 2016, Planning Commission meeting. I don't know if anybody's had opportunity to review those or not. I don't know if you can motion to approve them or not.
One second. There were two very minor clerical errors in there that... The first one was Councilman Anderson was just referred to as Anderson at one point when everybody else had a first and second name, and I thought that would be nice to put that in. And you were mentioned as D. Driggs instead of Councilman Driggs. Does that matter?
I don't know. We always just put C. Driggs or C. whatever.
Okay. Those were the two things that I had.
Okay.
Very minor.
Councilman would be correct if it's the word that was used. So,
Commissioner. Oh, sorry, Commissioner, not Council. My bad.
Yeah.
Commissioner.
I think the example subject to the name, right? If you had if we had two J. Smiths on the commission, that might sell the name, right? D. Driggs, I think knows who that is.
It was...
Can you send them to call me?
Yes, I will, gladly. It was just under Motion C, a motion where Lauren Spear, you know, nominated. It was seconded by... D. Dodge, and it should have been, sorry, it should have been C. Dodge. I mean, very, very minor.
G. Dodge.
No, we're all
oh,
C, because it's all for commissioner.
Oh.
And then that one was different, and
okay.
I didn't know why.
Good catch.
It's a very tiny, tiny thing. Okay. Other than that.
So I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes subject to the recommendations you suggested. Hello, open meeting? It is. Always.
Coming in.
You seconded, right?
Who made the first motion?
Actually, nobody made a motion.
Nobody made a motion.
Oh,
make the motion.
I make the motion. Okay. We put the minute.
Okay. Anyone want to second that motion?
I'll second the motion.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right.
Chair? Should we recognize voting members tonight?
Yes. Steve will be here late, but Brian and Jared will be voting members tonight. Steve only will be, but he's not here on time. So I think we'll have Brian and Jared be voting members tonight instead of Steven, because he's not here.
Once he comes, he can vote.
We would have three alternate people voting, I guess. Is that the way it works?
Is he an alternate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, then we'll just keep it the same. Never mind. Sorry.
You say that? So, Steve will not be the voting member, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
I fucked him up myself.
All right. Number four on the agenda is review recommendations on amendments to Title 10, Chapter 5 regarding conditional use permits.
Thank you to those of you who were able to come last week to the training that Meg Ryan did, working the league on land use. I found it to be enlightening and insightful. She's very knowledgeable, and thank you for being there. I know it was an extra night away from your homes, as well as your families, so thank you for taking the time to do that. one of the things that we had her talk about was conditional uses as it pertains to Cedar Hills Code. And currently, this is one area that I see in our code that is in need of complete overhaul. So in doing some research, I don't know how many of you have been to the Office of the Property Rights Ombudsman's website. Have you guys ever been there? It's really interesting. I find it fascinating. I can lose a lot of time on there. But what they do is they take cases or pending cases or potential cases between landowners and cities or municipalities or districts, and they try to resolve the differences prior to going to any sort of litigation. And what they do is they issue these advisory opinions, and the advisory opinions are for a whole host of various topics. Many of them are for conditional uses. And as I was reading through some of the ones on conditional uses, they outline, and I'm just going to read verbatim. He says, the Utah Code thus anticipates four specific steps in regards to conditional use. First, a use must be designated as conditional in a land use ordinance. Second, standards must be adopted to guide evaluation of a conditional use. Third, reasonably anticipated detrimental impacts associated with the particular circumstances being evaluated must be identified by a land use authority. And fourth, conditions must be proposed to mitigate those detrimental impacts. The use may be denied only if the proposed conditions cannot substantially mitigate the detrimental impacts. So as I'm looking through our code, and as you guys have looked through our code, the first condition was, the first step was a use must be designated as conditional. As I'm going through our code in Cedar Hills, I found about 15 areas where items are listed as conditional. These are found in Title 10 of the city's code. These range from accessory apartments, assisted living facilities in residential zones, conventional subdivision projects, fences, walls, hedges, flexible design, and home occupations, small animal units. There's a whole list of items. So we've gone through the first step, and we've established certain uses as being conditional. It's the second step where I feel like we're trying to plug a hole tonight, is the standards must be adopted to guide evaluation of a conditional use. What we have is the conditional uses are outlined. We have how people, which body approves conditional uses. That's this body. It's been delegated by the City Council to the Planning Commission to approve or deny conditional uses. However, we don't have standards. We don't have the application. We don't have many things, and that's why we've sent out what proposed code 10.5.36 was. So I don't know. Did you all get this? We sent it out a few times in a few iterations. We sent it out before last week's training, and based on the training and based on feedback from Meg, that next day I sent a copy of our code to Meg, and she graciously redlined it. We made some changes. So did you guys get the red line changes with the
clarification, these are the changes that she made or you made? Or both?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, yeah.
Okay.
Some of them are small. Most of them are from her. She didn't type in verbatim what it was, but she did give us ideas. So in the first iteration, you see that it's on the third page. It's F3, where we list conditions. She, based on the feedback she gave us, she said, both in the meeting and here, or in an email, it was, don't set the conditions now. Set the standards that you're going to apply the conditions on, but you don't need to set the conditions now because you don't know what the conditions are. You don't know what the application is going to look like. You don't know what the proposal is going to look like. So you don't know what the conditions are yet. So don't box yourself in and create the conditions right now. What you want to do, rather, is set the standards upon which the conditions are built. So that's why we've gone through and fleshed out the standards section, which is 10-5-36F1, standards for granting a conditional use. And these things, this adds the city's general plan. It talks about the health, it promotes health sanitation by controlling outdoor sewage, disposing of waste properly. So if we see, so let me just give you an example. It says in 10-536F, section E, it says that the proposed use will promote health sanitation by controlling outdoor storage, disposing of waste properly, controlling dust, gases, dirt, odors, noxious matter, heat, glare, electromagnetic disturbances, radiation, and other types of air pollution. So if we see a proposal come by for let's say it's an assisted living facility in a residential neighborhood, which is listed as a conditional use, and we see that their current plan does not meet this standard for controlling for the health and safety, health and sanitation in the city, that's when we would then create the conditions by which that concern would be mitigated. So we don't know what the condition is yet, but we know the standard that needs to be met. Are we all on the same page at this point? So what I've done is removed the conditions, and anywhere there was a need for a standard to be set up for the condition, for example, towards the end H, it says regulation of signs. That's not a condition. That's a standard. So we move things like that over to standards where if we're concerned about a potential sign, then that sign in this instance, in this application, may be a conditional use, and we can regulate that by saying, okay, well, your sign can only be such and such height because it may block a clear view area, but we don't know what the conditions are until the application is before us.
Could I
introduce Mr. Bramhall? This is Chris Bramhall. He's here as our legal advice.
Thank you. As you've been describing this, the thought occurred to me that you may have different standards in different zones. So, for example, if you have a commercial zone, one of the standards that you want to achieve, and I've seen this in your graph for your shopping center zone, is that the use has a retail component, okay? So because your purpose is to generate tax revenue for the city. That standard may be appropriate for that zone, but it may not be appropriate in a residential zone. So it seems to me you could have different standards that your conditional uses will have to meet for different zones, and you may not want to plug those standards into your omnibus conditional use code.
Now, I was going to get to this later because you're absolutely right. Some of the standards I feel like that would be applied in the SC1 zone, which is our shopping center zone, which is a commercial zone, would be different than the ones that are applied in the residential zone.
Right.
Now, this is generally through the city as a whole, as kind of this blanket policy. And that's why, this is what Daniel, when you were walking in, I feel like we need to flesh out the standards in the commercial zone a little bit better to make sure that they're very clear in the final document there. So, and there in some instances, I feel like they are, but how would you list the conditional uses under each zone independently, or?
No, that's what I'm thinking. And then in your conditional use ordinance, you would just say the conditions that are imposed by the Planning Commission or whoever the approving body is need to address the standards for the zone in which the use is being requested.
So we're a city where we don't have industrial zone. We don't have really farmland zone or agricultural zone. We really are divided between a small commercial zone and then residential zone with some public facility, which would be this golf course, which someone's not going to make an application for the city's land to put a house on. So this would really apply mostly to every portion of the residential zone in the city. Is there a way to clarify it so that it limits it to that, or would you suggest creating a conditional uses for residential zones and then a conditional uses for commercial zones section?
Those are basically the two zones?
Pretty much. It's really, there's the only variation in the residential zone is on the size of the lot. Now that determines sometimes what can and can't happen on the lot. But that's why, like, for example, say a flag lot. Not everyone. Some people can do a flag lot because they have enough acreage, but not everyone has the acreage to do a flag lot. But that's not a conditional use. But there are certain standards that are set forth in the zone or in the flag lot code that would need to be met in order to develop as a flag lot.
Well, because that's true, because you don't have sort of the full gamut of zones. standards here in your conditional use zone and say, these are the standards for residential zones. These are the standards for commercial zones.
So where we have a separate document that outlines the requirements for the commercial zone, is it necessary to say this is the conditional uses and zones for residential use, for residential type use, and then flesh out the commercial standards in the design requirements? Because that's where they're going to be found ultimately. And I think ultimately the vision is that design requirement document be codified.
That would be a good way to do it.
So then there would be another discussion about commercial standards. Because when we're preparing this, this mostly relates to residential type uses.
Ask a point of clarification. This document that you revised and emailed to commission and council every week, is that public notice? Was it part of the packet for the public notices?
I didn't have it in my packet, so I don't honestly know the answer to that question.
I didn't go there to find that. I got it from reading notes. Because it seemed to come later in the process. I just want to make sure that this was publicly noticed.
This meeting was publicly noticed.
Right.
The fact that we're talking about the code is publicly noticed.
Right.
So we can make changes to code. We don't have any code that we're changing right now. There's not a code that we're changing. We're adding code.
Right. Okay.
I think I had that notice. If you give me a second.
So I didn't see that packet.
I don't ever open the digital packet. I just didn't know we once you did this.
Where this is going to be a Title 10 issue, where it's a land use issue, there is a requirement that there's a public hearing. So there was a public hearing. We noticed it in Pyrus Circulation website, posted throughout the city. Now at that point, we can pass code and talk about code, because the fact that we're talking about the code was noticed. So. Yes.
For landowners. Is there anything sent out to the landowner on that?
Well, there. This doesn't apply to any one landowner. It applies to every landowner in the city. It's a general blanket policy that would be where each landowner could be affected. So we didn't mail anything out to every landowner because that sometimes becomes prohibitively expensive for the city to do.
Would the standards be any different for the mixed-use zone?
Say it again.
Would the standards be any different between residential and commercial for the mixed-use zone?
I don't know the answer to that question right now.
Should be.
It depends on what your goals are for each sub-district.
Right.
Where the code that's proposed tonight, like I said, really applies, the way I see it, more towards residential uses. I mean, if I were going to divide the two, I would say this applies more towards residential uses in meeting the conditional uses that are found in each type or in each section of Title 10. In each zone, there's a list of what are conditional uses. This conditional use code would apply to those set up standards for those conditional uses.
Okay.
Now, if we want to have conditional uses in the commercial zone, like Mr. Bramhall said, we need to set up standards for the commercial zone that apply to the commercial zone. And that's where I think we have a limited number of property owners in that case, rather than 2,500 households and then the surrounding area. So I think that's a different animal. But I do believe that we need to set up standards for review in the commercial zone that need to be applied generally for any application.
Chairman, did you send a? I looked in my Dropbox and my email.
This is not in Dropbox. Okay. I sent this out just over email as an attachment.
Okay. I'm not finding that.
Look on. I think I sent it on Tuesday.
Okay.
So, as we begin dialogue about this, you need to keep in mind that at the end of the dialogue, we need to make a motion on this. So, as we kind of collect all of our thoughts and suggestions, we need to put that in the form of a motion.
What's that?
At some point.
Yes,
come on in.
They all signed up for public comment. There's one outline in there.
Did you find it?
I found it.
Okay.
You.
So, you have anything else you want to present on the document before?
I mean, things might come up as we
go,
as we talk, but I guess what I'm trying to iterate right now is the need for this type of code in the city, where we don't have any. So I'm hoping that we all see that there's a hole that needs to be plugged here, and this is the first, I think, logical step towards doing that.
I don't know how the body feels. I feel that you need to work on this, how the final iteration comes out. I guess we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're asking.
Yes.
Well, let me just dig into the document. You guys want to go first? I have some thoughts. Here. If you want to, if you'd like to raise any good points in the document, I'll raise some.
I had a specific question about the notice requirement.
Yeah.
There's been language taken out of section 2 on the first page and modification to the public hearing. I know she went over this, but this seems to imply that no one is entitled to notice. Is that correct?
Oh, where are you looking? Show me again.
Right here. The bottom of the first page.
What she was saying was it's not necessary
section
for
C,
them.
Section C, item 2.
It's not necessary. No, sorry. It's not necessary for them to. Let me clarify. Let me start over. So in the case of Mr. Smart, there's a property that was needing of a conditional use, right? In this case, we as a city found the surrounding area 300 feet and the property owners and notified them. That wasn't something that the applicant did. So where he's saying applications for a conditional use shall be accompanied by, that's saying that the applicant needs to come with this list of names, and really that's something that the city just does. So the noticing the noticing requirements haven't changed. It's just simply who's responsible for that. So in this case, there was a specific instance where we put a sign on a property because there was a conditional use for a specific, or there was a question about a certain piece of property rather than the city as a whole, and we noticed it and we sent out notification to the neighborhoods in the surrounding area. Usually we go about 300 feet out in all directions from the property. And so that's just not something that the applicant needs to provide. We do that as a city. We already know we already know those addresses. We can do that ourselves.
Understood.
And you do it as a city because it's policy, or because it's imposed on us to do as a city?
It's not in the code. It's usually just sometimes good practice. So there's certain minimum requirements that we need to meet when we do public notice. Like for this instance, we had to notice it in magazine or newspapers of general circulation, which in this case we notice it in the Salt Lake Tribune, Deseret News. It needs to be noticed three different places in the city. So we have a board here, we have a board down by the fire station, and we have a board up at the city building. It also needs to be noticed on the state's public notice website, so that it's when we send in the packet to them as well. So we send in the agenda to them as well. So
doesn't have to be, you just said it's good practice though, right?
No. So those are the requirements. So, but in many cases where we have a specific question on a certain piece of land, in this case we had the Smart property, we put signs on the property saying there's going to be a public hearing this date, this time, at this place, and that's sometimes required, but it's not always a requirement to notify the neighborhood. Most of the time you do that just as a general courtesy to try to get their input. Those who are potentially affected, those who are most affected by it, you want them to definitely know what they think. So, that answers your question.
What are there? You just nomenclature kind of things, if we're really going to revisit this, it might be the time to try to tackle that. I don't know if we should talk about everyone's own nomenclatures I have in the document here. So for example, in the very first paragraph, this is bad by the commission. I think we wouldn't call it a commission, I just call it a planning commission without a document. So there's one.
Where are you reading again?
In 10.5.36a.
Okay.
Refer to planning commission as planning commission versus some other commission. One of those, there would be two commissions in our city for some reason. And then in 10.536C, You call it the planning department?
That's me.
So you're the planning department, right?
Yeah, there is a planning department.
Yeah, so my question here is, which city department is that referring to? Is there a name for your department, or?
Planning.
Planning? Okay.
Well, that could change, so I think you have to anticipate a little room there for growth or something, right? You don't want to have to amend this if every time something changes.
The planning department?
No, the planning function will stay the same, but it could look differently in 10 years.
The name of the planning department?
Or who the person
goes to, who we're saying.
Yeah. Well, in this case, the conditional use would, we're a small city, so we don't have a number of people that this application would go to. I mean, we're very limited in who it could go to. It either go to the city recorder or the planning department. Eventually, it's going to find its way to my desk. But at this point, I do think you need to outline who it does need to go to so it doesn't fall into some ether where no one's responsible to reply to it.
Right.
I guess that would be my response to that is I would suggest leaving who the contact person at the city is.
Or a title of the person? Like a title of the person?
Well, this is you've got a whole department. You'll always have a planning department. So, I mean, if it was a specific title, I would say, yeah, let's look at maybe broadening that or changing that, because sometimes titles change over time.
Yeah, I'm suggesting it would be good to maybe leave it a little generic.
So, what did you have in mind?
No, just like it is.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I think leaving it as planning department is generic enough, because the city's always going to have some planning function or zoning function.
Exactly.
I mean, you could even say zoning department, because it's essentially the same thing in our city. So, I mean, there's always going to be that function.
In the next sentence, it says, this is submitted to the Planning Commission at one of their regularly scheduled meetings. So I thought we should add, or special meeting scheduled by the Planning Commission, so that we can hear when it's special versus regularly scheduled meetings. This one suggestion. That's true, too.
You want to just do that? Let's just strike out regular.
Yeah, one of their scheduled
meetings. Chandler, case in point, tonight's meeting is a special meeting, and we are approving the conditional use permit.
Yeah,
yes.
So that, right there is the, you know, tonight is our okay. is our exception. So.
Chandler.
Yes.
One question I have is whether I think this needs to be a considered decision. Maybe it's already been made, but whether this body, the Planning Commission, should be ultimate arbiter on whether to approve a conditional use or not. Usually, I think maybe more common, and maybe it's just because of bigger cities and so forth, it's more common for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation and take that recommendation to the City Council for ultimate approval.
Okay.
And that goes to something else that maybe just a very, very general comment on your city code is, as a whole, is that there probably ought to be a very clear hierarchy of how these planning and zoning decisions are made, so that an application is filed with the, planning director. The planning director makes recommendations, with the staff to the planning commission. The planning commission makes recommendations to the city council. The city council approves or disapproves, and then who is the appeal authority going to be? This document, I think, refers to appeal authority, and it doesn't say who that is.
Now, that's also in flux. Currently, as it stands, our city has an appeal authority that's the Board of Adjustments. And the problem we're finding is that the way the code is written is the Board of Adjustment is written in as the ultimate arbiter of all this, of all appeals, and that shouldn't be the case. So that's actually in the process, and I believe Kurt McConkie has been working on adjusting that, and that's, I haven't seen that come yet. But as it stands right now, under the city code with regard to the Planning Commission's powers and duties, it does give them the right, and I'll just read, it says matters delegated under the powers and duties. It says, hear or decide any matters that the city council designates, including the approval or denial of, or recommendations to approve or deny, conditional use permit. So there is that language that approval, deny there, or make recommendations.
And that's
in that
been,
case.
If that's been a history with your city, I think that's
well, I mean, but to your point, that has been the history of the city, but that hasn't necessarily been the practice, and that's what we're trying to correct here. So,
generally, hasn't the practice been planning commission makes a recommendation to city council?
In most cases, yes. Yeah. But on something, it really depends on what it is. And this is what I want to get to where we're cleaning up our code is, as I'm looking through the city's conditional uses, and I said I found about 15 of them, there's a few of them I feel like shouldn't be conditional uses at all. They should just be permitted uses based on meeting certain criteria. One of them being home occupation businesses. We've outlined in our code what needs to happen in order for someone to have a home occupation business, and if you meet these certain requirements, you're granted a license. There's no reason, I feel like, for each applicant for a home occupation business to come before the Planning Commission and plead for them to have some occupation when, if you meet the size requirement of the code, if you meet the zoning requirement, if you meet the building code, who are we to say no as a city? And in the application process that's outlined in Title III of the city's code, it doesn't ever lead to the Planning Commission. So there's a bit of a contradiction there. Other items I feel like probably don't need to go to the Planning Commission would be fences, walls, and hedges. I don't know how much down into the weeds you guys want to get, but approving of fences seems a little bit low level. Small animal units, this is like chickens. Each chicken coop, large animal units. What we've done is, and this is where I'm saying, we've established standards, we've established criteria for people to meet, and if you meet these criteria, the practice in the city has been that you are granted your conditional use, or you're granted your use in case of home occupation. If someone comes in and applies for a hair salon, what we do is we make sure that they've filled out all the necessary paperwork, we go into their house, make sure that their house meets building code, that there's forms of egress, that they have a fire extinguisher, that and, you know, electricity is not a cell health or safety hazard. So there's certain requirements that they meet, and then they're issued their business license. I don't know. I may be just shooting from the hip here, but I don't know that all of these things need to be conditional uses.
I think that ought to come up more in the next
month. I don't know if it'll come up on the next agenda item because it doesn't talk about any of these conditional uses, though.
Oh, so.
There's a lot of conversation all over out here.
So. I think that makes sense, Chandler, for things that the city, for lower level stuff that the city regularly sees is consistently, you know, home-based businesses or small animals or whatever, it's check the boxes and.
So, I mean, the city, I feel like we have really good requirements when it comes to home occupations, where somebody that wants to start a hair salon or do, you know, taxes from their home, they can easily get a business license. But we had a gentleman recently who wanted to do, like, forensics on bullets, where he would be shooting guns into his house into traps and then doing the forensics on the bullets, the forensic analysis on that. You know, and that was something where the city said, time out.
Okay, but so how did the city say time out?
Well, it didn't meet, we met with the police department, and it's illegal to discharge firearms within city limits.
Okay.
So the activity itself was illegal.
Okay. But if you have, I don't know what you mean when you say home occupation business, so would that just be any business that somebody would want to run out of their home?
Just about.
Okay, so think about this. You're going to have some uses that you think are just fine, like a hair salon, for instance. Other uses that somebody could run out of their home, you may not want at all in your residential neighborhood. For example, a tattoo, somebody wants to do tattoos, you know, just inviting the wrong kind of people into the neighborhood. Or somebody that wants to do massage therapy out of their home. That may not fit, it may, but it seems to me that what you want to do is you want to have your conditional uses where you're checking the box for you know, salons and so forth. What if somebody wants to run a pet care thing out of their house, where they have 20 dogs in their backyard and they walk them through the neighborhood all day? That may not be something you want in your, and so the purpose for the conditional use column is to put the kind of businesses that you want. And you'll exclude the tattoo and the massage and the dogs and, you know, those kinds of things. So, because what's going to happen is somebody's going to come in and they're going to want to do a particular kind of home occupation business that you don't like, and you're not going to have a way of saying no. Mm-hmm. And if you do say no, they're going to say arbitrary, capricious, here's the lawsuit. So that's the purpose of the code, is just to be, you know, very, very clear and to give you the ability to say no without being arbitrary.
Mm-hmm. Now, so we already have,
we have a document here that's focused on our commercial zone, but what I'm hearing is that you may want to consider creating a similar document.
This isn't focused on the commercial zone. This is focused on...
We're going to get there in a minute. We're talking about commercial activities,
right?
So we have, when we're talking about the next agenda, I mean, we're talking about standards and approval process and use for the commercial zone. You may want to consider creating a similar document for commercial activities that occur in our residential zones. Is that one?
Yeah, and I understand, I'm speaking maybe more generally, that this is on your agenda tonight, but
the commercial zone, the commercial guidelines we have are only applicable to the residential zone because it's totally different focus. But we could create a similar guideline document for commercial activities in our residential zones, and again have a chart of what's not allowed, what's permitted, and you could go down that path if you wanted to.
Yeah. Just as a point, though, we do already have massage parlors, and we do allow for catteries. I don't know if you've seen that code.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that we have.
Those are just things I've...
No, I know. Yeah, it's funny that we had two of the three already.
what you may do is simply put in conditional uses that identify standards. So when you're talking about the dogs in the backyard, one of the standards is noise and impact on certain neighborhoods.
Right. But we have a standard in nuisance.
Maybe some
new
dog characters, at least if they only had one at a time.
So in the case, let me rewind. In the case of the gentleman who wanted to do ballistic forensics, that was something that staff wasn't willing to approve. And it wasn't until we had our discussion with the police, Americorps Police, who's our police department, that, look, this is an illegal activity that they're proposing using in a residential zone. So that made it easy to say, look, here's why you can't do this. But before then, the plan was to come to the city, or the planning commission, to have a discussion up until that point when, hey, this activity is illegal. So there's many times where I think staff is not comfortable using their own discretion. They want the guidance of the city council, or the planning commission. I think that would have been one of those instances where they said, okay, this isn't a simple administrative decision to approve a hair salon or something like that. This is something that we want a little bit more direction on. So I guess my point is, you know, a lot of these things I feel like can be handled administratively internally and don't need to come to the city council, where it might be just a hurdle that is completely unnecessary, whereas there may be instances where it is necessary to come. And those are very rare. But I think it'd be a lot more judicious with your time to talk about the ones that are the elephant in the room rather than the littler ones. So, something to consider. We have about 250 to 300 business licenses in the city, so if you really want to talk about each one.
I'm not arguing for that, but I think there needs to be some sort of a standard set.
Correct.
For when does it come to us versus when do you handle it?
Okay, yeah, I would.
Otherwise, it's how do you feel today? Does it, you know, if two of you sit down and say, do
well, I hope
should
it's
be
not
here
that
there.
Arbitrary, but
well,
no, I see
no,
what you're
saying.
Saying
if it's not written down, it could become that arbitrary.
Yeah.
At a future
time.
creating a similar guideline document to the course activities and the residential zone, that would help identify that.
Well, we have Catteries
that is a conditional use already, I believe. I'm just saying, as an example, you have a list of things that would come through that process and other things that wouldn't have to. It's permitted, right? Even
right.
The process at all. So maybe one comes to process if it's a conditional use, for example. Something like that.
Okay.
So, for time, may I suggest we get back to this particular document, though?
Sure. Yes.
All right. I have a few more observations or questions. Get back to where I was. Sorry. Just a general question. What the city's general plan that we referred to several times in this document, where is that? Was that ever revised or edited?
It's not completed, no.
So it's still officially in its current state?
Yeah.
Right. I was just curious about that. On the top of page 3, is that entire paragraph that struck the planning commission and enforced conditions. Is that deleted because it was kind of a duplication of the previous statements, or I'm just curious why that was struck all together on page 3?
Yeah, we say this in, I believe, section 3. Yeah.
So it's duplication, basically.
Yeah, it's really just duplication. Yeah. Because it's saying that the planning commission, the first sentence there, the planning commission may impose conditions on the issuance of a conditional use permit. That's what section 3 is saying.
And then in starting in number 3, we have, you know, like CDE, that doesn't get struck.
Correct. This is where the idea was, is we don't have the application, we don't know what the conditions are, but we know what the standards for the conditions are.
Right.
So don't box yourself, Meg Ryan's advice was don't box yourself in with feeling like you need to know the conditions beforehand. Establish the standards and then base your conditions for the specific application based on your standards. Because these conditions, while they sound good in a general term, may not be good in a specific instance.
So, earlier comment was made about maybe having different requirements in different zones, potentially. Mm-hmm. That was in the code in number K that was struck. Initial zones, basically, that kind of gives the ability to have unique.
I think this is a little different. This is a little different. Where different conditions for different zones, I think, would mean that the person that lives in the zone for half-acre lots has different conditional uses than the person that lives in high-density housing. So what I think this was saying was that this was a conditional use zone, and she kind of just said, what is this? Why do you have this? And we don't even have one, so it just struck it. So if the city were to ever consider some sort of conditional use zone, I don't know what that would look like, but I think that's where we would revisit the language here. But where we don't have one, I didn't feel like it was necessary to have the code.
Okay. So I'll go back up to 36F number 1. And maybe this is needs to be too detail-oriented, but talks about the planning commission may permit a conditional use to be located in its own. The particular conditional use is permitted by the use regulations of this title. I presume that's referring to Title 10.
Yes.
I just didn't know if we needed to add in there guidelines as well. Because we're basically eliminating guidelines from consideration by just saying this.
Well, if we go the route suggested of making a conditional uses for residential zones, this would be sufficient to just say regulations of this title, because the regulations of all the residential zones are found in section 10.4 of this title. And now if we were to create a separate set of conditional use standards for the commercial zone, then I believe that would be found in the design requirements where Daniel's working on those. So.
So we might refer to the other document, something that would create that other guideline document that would suggest.
Yeah, so I think if we go that route, we would really need to work to flesh out the standards for the commercial zone as opposed to the residential zone and see what those are. I would assume that there would be a lot of overlap in how those relate, because I think one of the things you're trying to mitigate is, in any conditional use, is the effect on surrounding areas. And I think in the commercial zone, the biggest thing you need to mitigate is the effect on the residential neighborhoods to the south and to the east. Mm-hmm. So I think that there would be a lot of overlap in the standards. However, I think that there would be probably some unique standards as well.
Did anybody else want to make a recommendation or suggestion on this document?
I had just one or two.
Yeah.
So on 10.5.36d, under fee,
mm-hmm.
that's accompanied by an appropriate, is that the application fee?
Yeah, so what we do in our code is we try not to, we have a separate fee schedule in the city, and we try not to list the fee in the code, because when we update the fee schedule, it doesn't necessarily get updated in the code. So we just try to reference back to the fee schedule so that when the fee schedule is updated, that's the one update that needs to happen. So we try not to list the fee in the code.
And I just wonder if it would be appropriate to specify it, because this is talking about just submitting the application.
Oh, so you're saying it's for an appropriate application fee?
Right. Okay, so it doesn't suggest that they only have to pay, because they may have multiple fees depending on what the application ultimately becomes, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they get approved, there obviously may be a building permit fee and inspection fees and all sorts of fees. But in this case, I believe it's just talking about any sort of application fee at the time.
Maybe change more appropriate to applicable fee,
whatever the fee schedule says at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then over
on 10.5.36G, so on the third line it says, this is talking about appeal the decision of the planning, is that planning department?
So where were you looking?
It would be just line? The first word on the third line there. Right there.
Yeah, just trying to see what it says. Yeah, it shouldn't even say planning commission. So where I said commission once, I have one plan here. We'll get it right one that.
While you're there, 10.5.36i. The very last letter of that section is missing. 7C.
What are you talking about?
Ah, right. It is me, though.
I wondered if that was a Freudian slip.
Spell check didn't pick that one up.
Nope, it won't. That's picking up pretty small notes, but spelling.
Yeah, now's the time, right?
Well, if we're going to split this out to have this be residential versus the shopping center zone, you're going to have to do some edits before it could be recommended.
No, I understand that. So
I think it's going to come before us again, is what I'm saying.
If
on a residential basis.
If we're going to make this apply to simply residential zones in Section A, where it says purpose and conditional use provisions,
yes.
We'll flesh it out there and in the title itself, so it's very clear. And then probably make any appropriate references throughout the code, but that's where you're going to find the language. So.
Okay.
So.
Can I ask a question? Okay. This is maybe for our legal representative. So I'm reading through the standards for granting conditional use. And this is the original document in the cluster. I don't have it. I'm losing that up. It's actually different than the record. So it's 10.5.36F, standard for granting conditional use. It's 1A. And the standard, and these are copied, I think, from RAC.
Many of them, yeah. Yes, correct. There's been a couple changes, but not. That was the basis for it, yes.
So the standard says that the proposed use of a particular location is necessary or desirable to provide a service or facility which will contribute to the general well-being of the community and neighborhood. What I worry about is that that's so general that a planning commissioner or council can just say, well, this is not a desirable use. We don't want it. We don't like it. Which doesn't seem to me to be a proper standard for a use.
Okay.
Am I right in that? Is that too vague? Too vague?
I agree with that, and I had that highlighted as well. Necessary or desirable is sort of an arbitrary kind of standard. Yeah, I think the fact that it's in the list of conditional uses to begin with suggests that it's an acceptable use if conditions can be met. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
So do we want to add language that such use is subject to the code of the underlying zone, or I mean that's less where if we listed conditional use as being allowed in a certain zone, then it would be just subject to the conditional the zoning code of that zone. Since it's a lot less, it would remove any sort of arbitrary and capricious language there.
I mean, you're going to have a certain amount of arbitrary decision making to make. Like, I mean, one of your standards is going to be, you know, is this use generally compatible with the surrounding properties?
Right.
And again, you're not going to know that until you receive the application. But
what's the difference between, and we're saying desirable here, but you go to their document where we have a chart, we have certain things that are prohibited and so on in our city, right? It's not allowed. What was he saying there? It's not desirable. What's the difference between saying here?
Because it's codified. It's not a standard for conditional use.
Yeah, but we're talking about codifying conditional guidelines.
But I think the difference is
what I mean is that in the conditional use table, right up front, saying these are things that are not allowed because they're not listed. These are things that are permitted. These are conditional. Once you get to conditional use, you're saying that's permitted, mm-hmm. as long as any of these conditions for which you list the standards are mitigated. Right? And so it's arbitrary to say one of our standards is we'll just decide whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually. You probably just strike the entire section 8 there, right? So are there any points you have in section 8? Do you think have desirable or necessary?
Well, I think you can add language that it's compatible with the surrounding area and complies with the zone, the code of the underlying zone.
This kind of gets to the bigger question that I have. is it Brimhall? Is that how it's
Brimhall?
Brim?
Brimhall.
Brim with an A. Okay. I mean, the bigger question I have for Mr. Brimhall is, and I really struggled with this as we're drafting the other document that we'll talk about soon, which is, I can list a whole bunch of conditions that I can think of ahead of time, in which case they become requirements. Things like lighting requirements and density requirements and so forth. I'm almost reaching the point where I say, I don't have any such thing as conditional use, because I'm struggling to identify when would I make something a conditional use in the zones that we have. I mean, I can imagine an industrial zone where I would have a conditional use, because I don't know. I might say that gravel pit is allowed, but I need to know how much dust you're going to generate and what kind of impact that's going to have, and I can't foresee that. But in a residential zone or in a commercial zone, if we list and say that something like a florist shop is allowed, I might be concerned about deliveries, but I can list that in a set of requirements. I don't know why I would list that as a conditional use.
Well, I agree. There is a point where a certain amount of judgment is simply going to be required. So you could say that a neighborhood grocer would be a conditional use in a residential zone, but we can all picture in our minds some neighborhoods where a neighborhood grocer simply is not going to be compatible with the surrounding home, you know, million-dollar homes up on the hill. You're just not going to have a little neighborhood grocery there. But there are other neighborhoods where it might be perfectly compatible with the surrounding homes. And so even though it's a conditional use, you know, your standard saying it needs to be compatible with the surrounding uses. Some places it's going to fit, some it's not, and that is a judgment call. So you can't get away from them entirely.
But in this case, where we're creating standards for commercial uses, and we're saying, yeah, we feel like a grocery store is a good use in the commercial zone. Let's make it a conditional use. And I think that's where I'm getting heartburn, saying, well, make it a permitted use. It's in the zone it should be in. But create the standards or create the review criteria that need to be met in order to open up a grocery store. And don't make it a conditional use. Remove the arbitrariness of having a conditional use grocery store in a commercial zone. But where it's in a neighborhood that it normally wouldn't fit, like a neighborhood, where it's in a zone that it normally wouldn't fit, then that's where I would agree with you that it needs to be a conditional use. But if it's in a zone where it is normally found, it seems to me that it should be more of a permitted use.
Well, I know we're jumping documents now, but I reviewed this requirements for design in a planned commercial development projects, and the list of conditional uses stops, I think, or I've forgotten exactly how it fits in, but it says anything from zero down to 5,000 or 6,000 is conditional, and then everything beyond that is not. So I kind of wondered, what's the difference between those commercial uses that are accepted and those that aren't?
And we'll talk about that in that room.
Well, when we get to that,
I made the same observation.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just not clear, but you may not want movie theaters, for instance, in your commercial shopping area because it encourages people to come late at night and that kind of thing. I don't know, but that's.
Yeah. I don't know. Just thoughts I was having.
Yeah.
So does anybody else have a comment about this particular document?
I have one, and that has to do with the notice and the public hearing issues. I don't see anywhere here where there really needs to be a notice section of what kind of public notice needs to be given when a conditional use request is brought to the city before it's approved by if it's the planning commission. And I notice here at the top of page 2 where it talks about public hearings. It says no public hearing need be held unless the planning commission deems it necessary in public interest. I think especially if it's the planning commission that's going to be making the ultimate decision, I think you ought to require a public hearing. Because a conditional use is a big enough deal that you want to have a public hearing, and you need to have a notice section in here that says who you're going to send notices to. So that at a minimum, surrounding neighbors, get a mailing, for instance, that I'm going to have a dog care center right next door. I want to go and say something about that.
In that case, the city would do a public hearing. And I agree with you. However, a public hearing is not required for a conditional use permit.
That's right.
You're suggesting that it should be.
And that's why I think that the language is there. The planning commission has the discretion. But let me play devil's advocate with your thought there. That in every case, the city is required to have a public hearing for a conditional use. Now, if I go back and look at the city's conditional uses, it does include fences, hedges, salons, taxes. I mean, that's a huge cost to the city to go through the public noticing section to publicly notice each one of those applications. I mean, we're looking at a couple hundred dollars each public notice. So that's why I'm saying let's remove some of these items, make them administrative, and then I would agree with you 100%. Like if if it's not an administrative decision to grant the CUP, then let's have a public hearing on it. But as long as some of these items are on the docket for conditional use permits, I just can't see the city swallowing that budget cut, that budget hit.
Right. So when you talk about fences and hedges and things like those, like that, you're saying somebody comes in and says, I want to build a fence and it's not permitted in my zone. Is that the idea?
This is where it's weird, because I hate the fact that fences are listed as a conditional use. I can't think of a single residential neighborhood, there isn't one, where a fence is not permitted. Sometimes there are restrictions on fences, so the neighborhood that's just to the west of the, or to the east of us here, they have a limitation where they have to use wrought iron. You know, and so if we see an application for a home in this neighborhood, and that's an HOA requirement, not a city requirement, if we see an application for a home in this neighborhood and they want to build a 6-foot-tall vinyl fence, you know, we immediately reach out to the person and say, hey, look, just based on their HOA CC&Rs, you cannot do this. You know, it's not really up to the city to enforce their CC&Rs, but where we can see a complete violation, we do notify them of it. But in that case, if we were to, and it's purely handled internally in staff, fences, while we talk about fences ad nauseum in this body, they are approved in staff. But if we were to go through and say, okay, well, the Planning Commission needs to approve every conditional use, each fence permit would come to the Planning Commission, and that's a little redundant.
See, I think the way to fix that is not to have a fence be a conditional use.
And that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I'm getting at. Remove that and a few others that you look at and say, okay, this is just between zoning requirements and building code requirements, this can be handled internally in staff. There's no reason for this to go to the Planning Commission.
And there's another whole category of things that, you know, are called variances, which mm-hmm. are, okay, we have a standard in the city. It's you can have a fence, but it has to be 5 feet tall. Somebody says, well, I want to build it 5.5 feet. That's a variance that has a much lower, you know, level of scrutiny and public notice and review and all of that. Conditional use, I think, is a bigger deal and probably requires public notice,
okay.
if not a public hearing.
Okay.
I think in the spirit of disclosure that the city's goals are, I think that's a good idea. I don't know. We have to find a list of what we don't want with that process.
Yeah.
There are some things that we probably should notice and have public hearings on, just the whole sphere of, you know, public disclosure and transparency and those sorts of things. I know I personally have experienced not being publicly noticed on something that I was impacted by, not in the city, but different city. And I kind of felt like, you know, why did they, you know, I know about it.
Yeah.
So it can build a little bit, you know, bad feelings toward the city sometimes. It's not.
I don't know that our intention is ever to be, well, not transparent.
Right. I think we're talking about,
I would disagree with that. But
talking about the spirit and policy of the city.
But to my point is we're a small city, and to notice something is a fee. You know, and it's we're looking at a few hundred dollars to run a little itty bitty ad in the newspaper for a few days. And if we have to do that for each time somebody comes before the city council for a fence or a hedge or a home business occupation, we can't pay for that.
That's why I didn't put a list, right? A list
and that's why I want to look at it. Because if the list were narrowed down to impacts that people are actually concerned about, because if my neighbor's doing taxes out of his basement, I don't care about that. But if my neighbor wants to have a kennel or something like that, then I care about that.
Well,
so I think that there needs to be some discretion here.
I think what you want to do is you want to distinguish between conditional use permits that are administrative.
Yes.
Versus
right.
those that go to the Planning Commission.
But right now, as it stands, there is no distinction.
That's right.
Right.
Once the Planning Commission are probably the ones.
And I'm okay as long as we make that distinction, because right now we cannot pay for, if everything
right.
that was a CUP had to come before the City Council, we cannot pay for that.
Well, technically, practice is not following policy anyway, right? But for example, the city's already granting approval for fences, right?
Right.
They don't come here.
Right.
But we're supposed to approve all conditional use permits. So we're already basically acting the way we want to get the code to be.
Right, so let's say the code where
we need to codify it.
Let's codify it. That's exactly what I'm saying. Let's remove those sections, making permitted uses.
So maybe we should make that a future agenda item.
It is.
To codify that so that our initiative practices is following the code, right?
No, I remember having this conversation, almost this exact conversation with the Planning Commission.
Three years ago,
we were in that building. I don't know if you remember that. We've gone the rounds on this.
Right.
So this isn't a new topic. We've gone around. So here we go. Hopefully, this traction. But I think this is the route we need to go. Are there any other suggestions for this document? Kind of bouncing around.
Well, one of the reasons why I asked earlier if this was publicly known as properly, because I was hoping we could refer and cite this document in our motion. Because that will take care of a lot of the changes, you know, that we're going to recommend here as a motion.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was or not. Do you know if it was? Was it part of the public? It wasn't in the email that Colleen.
It was an email I sent out. I'm okay with this.
Was it on the city website? I guess what I'm getting at, we can go through all this. We make a motion looking for recommendations to change this document.
But it wasn't an approved document beforehand. That's my point. It was never. We're not changing any current code. We're creating new code. Whereas before we were creating new code. There's not a document that people can point to and say, look, you're changing the code. We're adding to the code. None of this is currently found.
This is 10.536, right?
Right. We don't have 10.536.
You don't?
No.
At all?
This is brand new.
All of it. 100%
proposed. This is proposed code. And I am perfectly okay with this body saying tonight, hey, let's table this, make some changes, and bring it back. I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, that's okay with me.
I think we can tackle it.
Okay.
We can do this. What do you guys think?
So you're saying make a motion with these changes that we've already written here? Not table it, not bring it back?
Well, so we need to make a motion to accept this document
with the changes
we discussed.
I'm okay.
Which it sounds like there's 5 or 6 of them.
Can I go through the ones I've noted, just so we're all on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
One is to change the title to something to the effect of conditional uses for residential zones. In the first paragraph, adding planning before commission. At the end of that paragraph, add language related to that this code is related to commercial or to residential zones in the city. In section C, to change, to just strike regularly so that it says at one of their scheduled meetings. In fee, change appropriate to applicable. In F1A.
In E, Planning Commission, yeah.
What did I do again?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Second line up from the bottom. Middle.
It says
commission.
Okay.
Anytime
it says commission to add planning.
Thank
okay.
you.
We'll
yes.
do that.
Okay.
And then in F1A, strike is necessary or desirable. And I don't know that we actually finished talking about this one. We kind of left this one hanging.
Can I ask a question? What did you just say? Somewhere you said this is, we're going to make sure this is a residential zone. So the whole document or just the standards 10.536?
The whole document.
10.536.
Where a separate set of standards would be listed in the design requirements.
Because there's a lot of stuff in here that doesn't apply to everything.
It'd be the process.
Like the procedure and the process. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would make more sense to just say 10.536F, standards for granting conditional use in a residential zone.
Okay.
And then make a section of the standard for granting a conditional use in a commercial zone and just say, please see the other document.
Please see the city's design requirements.
For now, and you know, in the summer we'll clean this all up, but for now, because we're under a tight deadline, you can say, see the design requirements for the.
The body's okay with that. I'm okay with that. It accomplishes the same goal.
Up, do
you want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. I think if I were looking at F1A, I think the most important thing is, and it's in the edits, not the old one, is at the very end, and it says, and the city's general plan. I think referencing the city's general plan is important, but we do that in F, where it says that these will be compatible with the general plan of the city of Cedar Hills. We could, I would propose maybe we just completely strike A.
Hold on, if you strike A, are you going to move compatible with the city's general plan
that's
to
an,
one?
It's an F in the new document. So it's right here. You can, it's going to be right there. Look at the red F.
Yes, I see that. I thought you were going to strike A completely.
Strike A completely.
Right. Strike 10536FA, 1A?
Yeah.
You're going to strike?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So that'll be gone.
No, you're going to strike it.
And then
this motion is going to be nasty and about a page and a half long.
Whoever makes the motion, don't worry, we'll help you.
So then, okay, it's here. I was looking for the, it's this last section, the section of section F that says, in design will comply with the standards of the zone. That's there. So I think we can probably start A and be fine. And that's
the just confirm this was on the public.
This was? Okay.
Yes.
Was now that's all the changes I have noted.
We were deleting K.
We were deleting K?
I thought that you said, yeah.
Yeah, she
yes,
struck
in the new one.
Oh, sorry.
That you have pointed out, if K is deleted.
I move that we recommend the proposed code 10536 as amended this evening regarding conditional use permits to the City Council for approval and adoption.
Can I just, so this is all new code, right? 10536 is brand new, so we're not really amending anything, right?
No, you're amending the changes from the proposal.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Can we add subject to final review by legal counsel?
Yeah.
Please.
If the body wants to make that suggestion.
May I revise my motion?
Was it the second yet?
There's been no second yet.
Been no second.
Okay.
So, subject to review by legal counsel.
I would amend that review should occur in a certain time frame.
It's standard practice to have this reviewed before it goes to the City Council. So, this will go to Kurt McCulkey tomorrow with the changes.
A second.
Any discussion? They have a vote then. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Sorry, Brian, I didn't have that. It's hard to do that. All right, the next item on the agenda is number 5, review recommendation on the guidelines for design and review of planned commercial development projects. Before we get into this little background, just a full disclosure to the commission. So when we made our recommendations sometime back, a month or so ago, City Council deliberated over them and made changes. I don't know how the assignment was formed, but I know there were meetings held on a weekly basis. Attendance was meetings. Was the mayor D.P., Jenny Reese, Daniel College, Chandler. Mayor invited me to attend those meetings as well.
which I attended probably four of them. So they basically, probably a council assignment, I'm guessing, down here, but how can it go out to tweak it, try to come up with a guideline. So but I just wanted the commission to know that, that I was at some of those meetings that the council held to discuss this document that we're going to discuss. So I was able to communicate in some cases what the planning commission's consistent thought process was around some of the things we were talking about. So just want you guys to know that as it was on us. I think that maybe had seven meetings, maybe eight put together. Anyway, I think I was four or five, but I wasn't able to attend every one of them. So, and then, so that body created this document. Predominantly, I think Daniel was heavily involved in that, so did most of everything on that. That document was then publicly noticed and was at the last City Council meeting, which was a joint meeting between the Planning Commission and City Council. Four of us were able to provide feedback and contribution at that meeting. Since that meeting, the document was revised again and modified based on some of our suggestions and others from City Council. And so now we're at that version now where now we're going to discuss it again. So that's just a little background on how we arrived at the this current document. So, having said all that, Chandler, do you have, you want to present something on this, or do you want to further?
No, I'm just really short. And this goes back to the discussion we've already had, is that I just want to make sure that as we look at the table of permitted and conditional uses, that, and I know Daniel and I, and Jenny and David and Mayor Deedy have all had multiple discussions about what should be permitted, what should be conditional. I think that there's still discussion to be had there. However, I just want to make sure that as we just talk about that, that the conditions are good, because there's sections 3.2.1, 3.2.2, 3.2, that needs to change. Yeah, 3.2, 3.2.2. But that those conditions are, you know, established by the applicable standards. So where we have standards that we've already approved, and these would be for the condition or for the residential zones. And I, like I said before, I think there's going to be overlap between the condition or the standards that we just approved versus what will be in the commercial zone. I just want to make sure that the conditions that we're listing here are backed up by a set of standards, so that the city can fall back on.
I would, again, keeping in mind at the end of this discussion, we have to come up with a motion, and this might be longer potentially than the last discussion we had.
It was a good long discussion.
So, we have a volunteer to maybe kind of keep track of the channel made a nice list. I don't think Chan should make the list of site on time.
I just, I'm staff, I'm here to help.
Yeah. But is any, I mean, does anybody want to volunteer?
I'm going to write it down either way.
You want to do it anyway?
I'm going to write it down either way, so I'm happy to continue to do so.
We still want to take advantage of you.
That's okay.
Even though we normally do.
We do all the time.
No, so
he doesn't trust the rest of us.
Here's my pen. Take it.
All right. Okay. I do have some comments here from Craig. Wasn't able to come to the meeting, which is not too long now. It's not moving out like it did all week. So we can start with some of those comments so I can interject them later. And I have some of my own, but maybe the commission want to jump in. And that, I guess my one question I have is for flow of continuity, do you want to jump all over the place? Do you want to start at the beginning and kind of go through it?
I would recommend that we sequentially go through it. It works better for my brain.
I agree.
Okay.
That sounds good to me. Let me just give you a bit, Craig's. I actually printed that out and left that on my desk at home, so I'm not sure I got his. Here we are.
Let me pull that up. Is this gonna affect that subzone? Is the zone subzone staying the same down there?
We'll talk about that. They're changing a little bit. So we can get you that document. We'll talk about it in a second. I should say it may change yet. We recommend it changes on council. So Craig had 3 points he wanted to make, and we just need to know fast to go so we get out of here. So in 3.1 districts, he said we had discussed extending the mixed use office retail area to extend behind the houses on 4680 West, but that was not part of the initial commercial zone. So you wanted to talk about that. So we might be able to get to that part of the document. He had some comments there. And then he had some comments about the condition use table. Remind me when we get to that. And then he wanted to talk about the training we had. That's a different agenda item.
So for the public training.
Yeah. So let's start at the beginning then, in paragraph page one. First paragraph. And I had some typos in all the pages. I think we can leave those out. I think that they're capable of getting all that cleaned up. I'm not gonna point those out personally. We'll see you guys.
You're also welcome just giving me a list of typos.
Yeah. All right, so first paragraph. Anybody want to talk about first paragraph? Second paragraph.
I have one comment on the second paragraph. Yeah. The currently adopted shopping center zone states. The zone doesn't state that. The zone description states that or something.
This section right here?
It says the currently adopted shopping center zone states.
We have a current, it's the SC1 zone, and it's there.
But I'm being a grammar Nazi here. No, the zone doesn't state it. The zone ordinance or the zone...
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And that's easy to change.
I know, it's just, like I said, I'm being grammar Nazi.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, because I am one too.
Okay. Well, as long as nobody thinks I'm a jerk for saying things like that, then I'm good. Not trying to be a jerk.
I did have a comment first paragraph I missed, because I'll put you to the wrong page. It talks about the needs of the community, and I'm very fine with leaving the word community in there, but I just thought maybe we should make it more specific and say Cedar Hills. Lest somebody think the community includes Highland or Ring Ford or the National Forest or I don't know.
City,
Cedar Hills. Or, so we just say the community, so I thought maybe we should say Cedar Hills instead of the community.
Actually, I like that.
Changing it to Cedar Hills?
Sure.
From the community to Cedar Hills?
Yeah, City Cedar Hills or the needs of Cedar Hills.
Is this in the second paragraph?
In the second paragraph, last sentence, it starts with this plan is a conscious attempt. I didn't know if we should be consistent. Instead of calling it a plan, we should call it the...
this document?
Can we just
the requirements
say
these requirements?
Yeah.
The requirements are a conscious attempt. Something of that nature. There's calling it a plan. Or just here, put the title of the document maybe there. Set up the plan. Anything else in paragraph two? Paragraph three.
On paragraph three, the last sentence. If we start, you know, they shall include, I realize that that's not a, you know, we're not limiting it to these items. To me, it seemed a little.
Shall include, but are not limited to.
And I don't know if we need to say that.
But not limited to opens it up to.
Yeah, it means you
what
can
is it
throw
to?
Anything in.
But these considerations are shall. It's not a may in this case anymore. This is, and I think this is the point Daniel was getting with this document, is it's requirements, not guidelines anymore.
Right.
So it is a shall.
Shall okay.
Is mandatory.
So shall is.
And so where further on in the document, it does discuss density
diversity and design to a certain extent. It's not so open for interpretation as density was perhaps in the old document.
Okay, then I'm all right with that.
Unless your concern is it may be more than just density, diversity, and design.
That kind of was where I was going. If we had something else that we wanted to consider, is it allowed later?
Shall doesn't create a closed list, though.
And that's what I just wanted to make sure that legally it doesn't create a closed list. Okay. Then I'm all right.
Daniel, did you get the zone description from David?
Yes, I did.
Is that what you were looking for? It's not necessarily this type of language, but it's a very specific, it's very exact.
Okay.
All right. Just thought process, by the way, we talk about protecting citizens from noise, light, air traffic, and other forms of pollution. Whatever it might be, we've done some trouble, but previously, for being undefined, right? And now we're just like other forms, it's a pretty broad category, but I'm fine with it. That sounds like you're fine too. I just was curious if you guys' thoughts were, get vague again. But no, we should list more forms of pollution there, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. There are other forms you can think of.
Water.
We mentioned in the other document, electromagnetic. There are other things that could come into play here, and again, I don't think we're...
Word glare was the other document. It was glare, I think.
Heat and glare.
Heat wasn't listed here, so... Again, is this a closed loop or not? Or a closed statement or not?
We can incorporate the same language, the same list.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's a good, better idea.
Be consistent.
I felt like the other list was
long.
No, fairly. I was going to say comprehensive, but I don't mean to be long. I think it covers everything that we know of right now, and then maybe it'll come from any kind of pollution in the next decade. But yeah.
So moving on, and now we're in section 1.2, SC1 zone description. I think even Daniel said in the email, I think. Cities defining how many acres and
David Bunker, city engineer, just sent out a legal description of the land itself.
I thought it was 9 acres.
Well, it's like the meets and bounds description, beginning at point such and such, then proceeding. You know, it gives a legal description of the land.
So are we going to incorporate that into this?
Incorporated. I believe that's going to be incorporated.
Good.
Anything else before section 2.1? Anybody?
The zone is bounded statement. Kind of, it's vague for the part that runs down 4680. The backyard's there. We talk about low density residential development on the north and northeast, which doesn't cover that section, and on the east by Cedar Ridge, which doesn't cover that section, and then on the south, it doesn't cover. It's actually the east of this part here. I don't see in that statement.
Talking about southeast.
This southeast. That line. I don't see that statement covering that line.
So when you say on the east by Cedar Ridge Elementary and low density residential.
I think that would cover it. That would then cover that.
Or you could say the southeast is...
And there you go, the southeast, low-density residential.
Yeah. Yeah, northeast there.
So where it says on the south, can we say on the south and southeast?
Great.
Yeah.
Great, perfect. Yes, thank you.
We don't want to exclude anybody in our description. Everybody is included.
Sorry, it's a document. We kind of have to be anal, so there we are.
All right. So we're in section 2.1 now.
If you wanted to change the area of the city?
What are you saying?
Community to city here?
Yeah, we've said change because they changed to Cedar Hills here for the city. Do you want to go change the city?
Maybe right then to the city of Cedar Hills vision? What are you saying? What are you suggesting?
On that first line, the community,
yeah, community vision, that's the title of it, is it?
Or we could just say vision.
I'm fine with it being community. I just didn't know if anyone had a problem.
Right.
Okay. I think city sets boundaries, but.
I don't like the way it is.
Document applies 1 foot outside our city boundaries, so.
It does apply.
I find it here, not in the other place. It just rolls on my system.
My community, though, doesn't send me.
Okay.
I think in the case of here, it's fine.
Okay.
So this document is referring to the commercial zone specifically, right? This is talking about the neighborhood commercial shopping center. This paragraph. Sorry, but additional.
Those were just not capitalized.
What's that?
I think if those words were just not capitalized, that would make sense. But it is sub-district.
Yeah.
But capitalized.
Right. What was it make that sound? That's a good point.
Sometimes I think this document was written in like very many capitalized.
Right. So the last sentence, it talks about intended subject properties intended to mix retail, commercial, office, residential, and civic uses. This is no, I don't civic uses. Is that something we want here? But we don't really, I don't think a civic use is in the permitted table.
It is.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know that there's nothing in the plan for anything down there, but I don't know that the city wants to handcuff itself either.
Yeah.
Where that land, well, where that land was, I think I would argue that we need to leave it, even though I don't ever foresee that being a swimming pool down there on the city's 9 acres or the park or anything like that, where it was purchased for with parkland development impact fees. I think it would be smart to just leave that language the way it is.
Yeah, I think.
Just
see, to me, I think we have a different definition. You have civic use. To me, I'm visualizing
a city
hall, maybe a library.
I love the
library
spread
by
hearts.
I wasn't even picturing the Stanley Memorial School.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about swimming pools. So civic use to me is like city offices kind of thing.
What memorial pool is that? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, if I go in $1 million for it.
You have a comment? I think if you include civic uses there, then you need to make sure to include them in your table.
I think they are in the sense of like a community swimming pool, other rest facilities.
There could be a definition of civic uses, maybe, because I don't know that it's on the same page.
We can change civic to public facility, which is what we would classify in our zoning as any park or any city-owned property.
Public, for example,
our water tanks are zoned public facility, and the Heritage Park is zoned public facility. So
right.
It's just public facility.
So it's public facility. That basically defines that it's city-owned.
Right. It accomplishes the same purpose.
Hold on, but public facility is not in our list.
No,
our
but
table,
that's what
right?
That's what a swimming pool or a city-owned tennis court or a park or anything like that would be. It would be zoned.
Could be a private swimming pool.
And it could be a private swimming pool, but in this case, where the city.
So we're okay if we say public facility there, and that doesn't.
I think so.
Civic use is the same.
As long as you know what public facilities mean.
Yeah, well, we have a zoning of public facilities in pretty much any sort
right.
of
so there are
land that's open.
For that. We don't have civic use. I don't think is widely used. In fact, I think it's still basically used at all.
We could change it to public facility. I think.
So may I ask a question? What piece of property is this pertaining to? The 9 acres on 48.
The entire.
This isn't rezoning. It's just saying that at some point it could be used for such a purpose.
Rather than retail.
Yeah, it's refers to the entire.
There, it's not talking about any specific land in this instance.
Okay.
I'm looking for a definition at the end of 2. The first paragraph of 2.1.
Yeah.
In order to reduce automobile dependency, what does that mean? I couldn't understand how this document reduced automobile dependency.
I think the intent was to reduce trip time driving after shopping elsewhere, like Highland or Greenberg.
Last sentence.
2.1, last sentence of the first paragraph.
List of 1, 2, 3. To reduce automobile dependency.
Well, it's twice.
I think the intent was that one of the goals, one of the vision or life values is that people wouldn't have to drive this far to get their dry cleaning and get out.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that the intent of that?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't read it that
that's
way.
That's the intent of how the original document was drafted, and that's one of the sections that's carried over.
You're familiar with where I live, right?
Yes.
Okay, I drive to Walmart, I don't walk. Now, maybe I'm just a jerk, but I drive to Walmart, I don't walk. And it's 200 yards. If you go, Walmart's my backyard.
Okay.
You can go straight south.
Walmart, I'm not that much farther.
Okay.
So
I was trying to understand.
I'm going to ride my bike all the way to...
Well, because I'm not going to carry 2 gallons of milk and 3 bags of groceries from Walmart home.
Right.
So I was confused by that. What I saw that was not requiring a car to get there, but everybody's going to drive a car.
Keep in mind that the original vision for the commercial zone was mixed use, and they really meant mixed use like you would find in an urban environment where you would have a mix of apartments above on the second story above commercial uses, and you really would just walk downstairs to go to the store or to get your bike clean because it was the same building. That was the original vision for the commercial zone.
Okay.
Or it hasn't 20 yards to the Walmart instead of.
And it hasn't particularly developed that way, as you think.
Okay.
Right?
All
right.
So well, no, I'm fine. I was just.
Part of what we've struggled with as a council is, do we really want to retain this as a mixed use designation, given that we so far have not seen mixed use come in there? And if we look at mixed use in our neighboring cities, like Highlands mixed use, it hasn't done too well because they didn't design it very well.
Okay.
So, are you suggesting we strike number two, or do you want to kind of word it something different? Number one kind of encompasses the convenience of residents, kind of would include what we talked about. I don't know if you want to have
it. I'm sorry, just to me that phrase was a little vague. I didn't know what it meant. I do now. I know what it means now, and I'm fine with that. I think it's great.
I don't like it.
I'm great with the concept. I'm great with the concept. I'm not great with the wording.
I would say to encourage mixed-use development, which is what we really meant there.
Then let's put it.
Change to.
That's what you really meant. Then let's put it. Yeah.
So I had number three to expand the city's tax base and. We have property tax revenues and we have sales tax revenues. I didn't know if we wanted to have a preference there or just leave a vacant use as tax. Over the discussions, some of the discussions we've had the last couple of years, sometimes some people are excited about sales tax revenue. We have sales tax revenues. Some people say, no, wait a second, we get more revenue from property tax revenues. You know, it's all the property tax. So you want to leave it to just tax, or do we want to actually specifically say, expand the city's sales tax base, or sales tax and commercial tax base, or you want to say tax? That's an observation I made based on the past discussions. Any thoughts on that? Am I getting too granular here?
Well, I think it's sales tax that we're trying to increase. I think we should have just sales tax.
If it's revenue to the city, and we leave it as to expand the city's revenue base, then they can come in and make a case and say the city will make more money with this than with this. Isn't that what we're really saying here? Get more money for the city?
The original intent, I think, was sales tax.
But I don't know that it's always... Sales tax isn't necessarily always more than property tax.
No,
that was kind of my point. If you could make an argument saying property tax on this property would be more than sales tax.
It's an economic argument in the sense that this would give us the most money for the city. It wasn't a revenue argument. It was really... This will allow us to diversify revenue source streams, and it will satisfy residents' desire to have nearby shopping. It's something the residents have always complained about.
And I think this is well covered on number one here, the convenience of city residents.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree emphatically with that.
And sales tax, what I always heard from city leaders when I implemented we need to get to improve our sales tax base because that improves the standing of the city. We don't have to rely so heavily on property tax revenue. And you see that, I mean, our revenues have gone from like 200,000 to a million in 10 years of that in year sales tax revenue because of what we've developed. So the vision here really has been realized in the sense that it was sales tax that was the vision.
And keep in mind, 100% of sales tax doesn't come back to the city.
Oh, no.
No,
but it, 100% it helps. Policy, just a small, but it helps.
Yeah. A fraction. Oh, of course it helps. I mean,
it's out of the million, it's like 200,000 or 300,000. That's,
yeah. But I like this because you're right. We previous documents said sales tax.
No, so, I think it said just tax.
No, the previous guidelines or the codes. I said
I'm
sales tax.
Sure sales tax is in different places.
It isn't sales tax, but I think in this case it did say just tax base.
Right, so I'm just bringing up, we want to diminish the tax type by not saying sales tax for anything. Because we said sales tax previously, historically, so I just was curious as to why or why not.
I would not personally limit it to sales tax.
Okay.
It's not going to be a lot of heartburn either way, but my opinion, don't limit it. What we're after is revenue for the city and broadening the revenue base. And if somebody came in with a way to make the property tax just kick sales tax butt, then...
Do you want to say revenue here instead of tax?
The city doesn't get any revenue. That
the city's not in the business tax.
Do
they? I don't know what revenue would be. I really don't.
All you collect money for is taxes and fees, right?
Taxes, fees.
So what I think I'm hearing is
that
the city has the word tax.
That doesn't come back.
It doesn't come back. So.
What I'm hearing is we'll leave the word tax the way it is.
Okay.
I just prefer that.
So, 2.2, vision statement. Anybody have any comments there?
It's kind of funny to me having both the list in 2.1 and the list in 2.3.
Can we strike the one in 2.1?
I mean, I would merge them.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I first read it, but then I wanted to defer to the author of the document who had some grand plan there or something. So you're suggesting we merge the two and leave it in 2.3 as goals, right?
Just add in part of an automobile dependency and the 2.3.
And then you're good. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to reward that as to encourage mixed use development, and what number four is to provide for mixed land use. I think it's just
okay.
Although, actually, not to get too.
Yeah.
If you go back up 2.1 though, it says the city of Cedar Hills has determined. So that's a list of findings.
Yeah.
As opposed to a list of goals.
So maybe the goals should go up to under 2.1 and strike 2.3 altogether. So there is no goals section. It's just,
I think both are important.
They have distinct. They have two distinct purposes as it's worded.
I think goals was, is what's being proposed, does it meet these goals? Does it meet the value, and does it meet the goals? Mm-hmm. I think it's just
so we're going to see it is then?
Yes.
Mike? We could do it a third time. They do say that when people see it three times, they remember it. So we could do it a third time. So section 3 land uses, is that where we're at?
Yes.
2.1 districts. So Craig had a comment here. I think you guys may as well. I have a comment. So just when the city council took our recommendations, you'll notice that what came back is there's not a lot of sub-districts. If you recall, we had like two of the sub-districts in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the premise here was to try and clean that up a little bit, simplify it. And the thought process was that a developer would have an easier time meeting our requirements and such if they'd have to try and master plan through three different sub-districts. was one thought process for why we simplified this when it came back.
Can you clarify that? Because somehow I don't know what I recall that change.
Which change? The sub-districts?
Yeah, did you condense them? Did you have only one?
No, we wrapped
the
mixed use around the
around the rest of the low the residential there.
Just the way we simplified it.
I see what you're talking about.
We simplified it, whereas before it was
you had
it was really easy to cross
that blue one wrapping all the way around on the side.
Yes, correct.
And right. I think what you were trying to do is there was to provide a buffer,
right.
Less intense uses next to the residences.
Right.
And what the council looked at and said that could make development really hard for a developer because how do we know what building they want to build and now they might be straddling two zones with their development and we didn't want to cut off a really narrow sub-district where maybe there's nothing viable that could go in that little thin slice.
Right.
And so rather than do the zoning to protect the residents, there's now in the document we get to a long list of things you have to do for setbacks next to residential.
All right, I was also wondering about that because I believed when we were in this room meeting, I think it was in the summer, I thought we had decided on 40.
40
what?
40 feet instead of 30.
Instead of 25.
25. I think it's,
maybe we
it's written in two places.
And huh?
Maybe we need to put that back in.
Arose.
But I think to Dan's point, it's been mitigated in other ways where through scaling down possibly the size and height of the building and density or other measures, it's mitigating that impact rather than through sub-districts or even just 40 feet. 40 feet, I think this discussion we had with some of the developers was, it makes it a difficult development. 40 feet's a lot of land. So we're trying to find other ways to lessen the impact. Is it just through distance, or are there other measures that can be taken?
So it could be 40 feet for these homes, but not 40 feet for these homes.
No, I don't think it's 40. I think it's 25 for both.
It's 25 for both now.
Yeah. So it's all in one place. We're trying to simplify the code and say this part of our code talks about it's all in one place.
So I was trying to give a background on how the council arrived at this modified version from what we sent up their way. And I think the premise was to, as been stated, was to try to mitigate the concerns for the neighborhoods by other factors set up based on what uses allow there. So it's easier for a developer to come in and try to develop that land, realizing that there's not a different zone district behind it. It's only, I don't know what the distance is, 50 feet wide or whatever it is. It's hard to develop that. So the thought process was it would be more attractive to a developer if they had a larger chunk of land to work with, but it also have to meet the other factors. So probably it may not be much different depending on how what we come up with the recommendations with city council planning, decides what the final factors. But what we would suggest what those factors would be, and already a lot of them are in the document already. That's why this picture looks different than last time we set it up. Just kind of thought process behind that.
Any
So with that, section 3.1, I guess, does the body want us to make suggestions to not accept these districts the way they've been outlined now?
Push back on me. I would like to hear.
I'm trying to find out where it was. I want to see what the other mitigating.
Which section are you finding?
This is where it's talking about. Congregate care.
But that's congregate care.
Okay,
that's specific.
Where else are they listed?
Sorry, was it far enough?
It's not as far as you want.
I have that one.
That's the issue, sir.
Yes. That's why I want to use.
Okay, all buildings shall be set back a minimum of 30 feet from any residential zone. That's the 4.2, it's the first sentence, right?
Yes.
So it's 30 feet. From any residential zone.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we calling congregate care residential or not?
Yes.
Because on the congregate care, it specifically says 25 feet.
Yeah.
I'm going from memory. I could be wrong.
Congregate care is not allowed in the neighborhood retail zone.
Not in the neighborhood retail.
Well,
no, but in mixed use, it is. 3.2.2.1, it says 25 feet.
But you've got two different setbacks. So you've got a setback from residential, and you've got a setback in wherever you are.
Side property lines.
Yeah, I guess the property lines. 25 feet from the property.
Yeah. And so let me
unless the property lines are residential, then it has to be 30.
Yes.
Okay, okay. I'm okay with that. I can read that way.
And let me give you some clarification on how that turned out that way. So the conditions listed in 3.2.2
yes.
were drafted by Jenny. That was her council assignment to go find out what we should do about congregate care.
Okay.
And so yes, if there are inconsistencies, we should be finding them like you're trying to do. Exactly means a pass through document with a single voice and vision that makes sure everything is aligned well.
Well,
and maybe, okay. Yeah.
I can see this being fine though, because at the edge of a congregate care property line might be commercial, and 25 feet is, a mixed use office, an office
yes.
building. You're okay with 25 feet
yes.
there,
yes.
just not against a
residential.
Then that has to be, okay.
Right.
Then that has to be 30.
That has to be 30.
Right.
Okay. I'm okay with that. As long as there's logic and reason.
Yeah.
As long as it's not logical contradiction. I don't want a logical contradiction.
Yeah,
logical contradiction isn't a contradiction.
A contradiction in the logic. Is
yes.
that better? Okay.
So, back to where we were. Do you want to talk about districts some more? Do you want to go to 3.11 and give retail, sorry, the details of the districts?
What do you think?
I actually, well, I want to move on, but I want to go through districts a little bit more. So, let me just make sure I'm on the right page or not.
3 and 4 is where
yeah,
it's going to be,
four.
Right?
Yeah.
H3 is where we're at.
Yeah, well, yeah, I see that. I'm on 4 over here.
So, 4 is where we start off on
the districts, right?
Districts. You want to talk about the maps more?
No, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so 3.11 neighborhood retail, the first paragraph. Any discussion or comment on that paragraph?
Not the first paragraph.
Second paragraph? So this neighborhood retail is, the last sentence there is focused on generating on-site sales, so this
mm-hmm.
is referring back to these around sales tax revenue should be, well, the way to put it, this zone should only include uses. So I guess we're excluding civic uses from the neighborhood retail, right? Unless you, I guess you charge money to get some.
See, there's that logical contradiction thing. Yeah.
It's a should, not a shall.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's true.
That's true.
That's a very important
should.
Distinction.
Should only.
It's an extremely important distinction.
Yes. There's a little bit of legal, I suppose, there. But
case in point would be another if AmSource decides not to come through with the America First Credit Union, this would definitely push away from a credit union.
Yes.
I mean, very strongly. I see that being specifically written that way.
Stronger than that, in the sense that.
Oh, I saw the in the table.
The bank in the table. Is
yeah, it's just only exempted from people that yeah.
Yes.
Accepted.
Very consciously trying to bring in sales tax revenue there, which is something a lot of residents have asked us to do.
No.
So
no complaints.
So
just.
Yeah. Let's drop word should then and say must.
We'll be open to that.
That would remove the civic or public uses from that section.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless they charge entry fee to get into the
commercial board.
Yeah. The on-site sales thing. I hear what you're saying. Okay. So you think to more strongly word that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, that's the intent. And then the body here thinks that's what that retail zone's primary purpose is and should be, then we're trying to get rid of the maintenance, right? We're trying to get rid of the wiggles, right? That allows
okay.
confusion.
Then we have to get rid of focused on just saying that generate on site sales.
So, things have been told. We've got a B site, you know, or D site. For commercial, but the city has a better site than we do. And that's why I think that's, if we're going to be held to a standard.
So this is referring to the neighborhood retail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That eventually, even though but you guys have a better retail part, I think that should stay in retail. Then. You think that should stay in retail? Sometimes I get too down the weeds, and this might be an example of me getting out of the weeds. When we say we're saying that it must be on-site sales, so now we have say a Chili's restaurant comes in, and they have you can order on the internet or on the phone,
and do takeout.
And do takeout. Are we prohibiting takeout?
Here,
it's an on-site sale. Tax revenue comes to the city.
It's all on-site.
Point of sale is still in the city. I don't think we should lock it so that it only, because
they don't make it
make
on-site
it,
sales. Just
make
it get sales tax.
Well, I
who cares if
my
thought
process
is that
we're predominantly focused on or primarily focused on. So the primary purpose of that entity is to generate, but that doesn't prevent them from having a virtual business, you know,
as a small portion of it, yeah. Keep it flexible so we get
a little
bit there. I think you need a little bit of wiggle room occasionally. Not getting rid of all of it.
This shall only include uses that are predominantly
generated on-site.
There
you go.
Oh,
like
that.
Okay, we're good. He's over there already editing the document. He's,
no, I'm not editing, but I am adding comments. All
okay,
it's
okay.
Google Doc, and so I'm just putting all the comments that you guys have seen.
Oh, this is good. Good, good.
All right, so mixed-use office retail. We might want to. Sure, we want to use that.
I'm going to be grammar Nazi again. Shall be of lower intensity.
Yeah, what is intensity?
Lower intensity uses, lower I am intense. I am a higher intensity person. That's me. But
lower intensity is defined in this next.
It is. And so I just think the wording could be a little more clear there. Just
they shall have lower intensity uses.
Perfect. Then I'm very happy with that.
Keeping up this chamber for us to be able to say some promotion of as
I'm laughing internally because most of the grammar not things you're catching are things that I copied over from our document.
I'm sure. I'm becoming more vocal in my. I do these kinds of documents where I work. We this is part of what I do, and it's very iterative for me. Do it once, then read it again, come back, do it again, and do it.
All right, so here's a hypothetical, but not impossible. So let's say
we get something approved in the neighborhood retail zone that maybe is not as large in scale and intensity as possible. So they actually built something that was maybe equivalent to what we would have on a mixed-use office retail zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're saying that mixed-use office has to be at less intensity than that.
Oh.
So does that put us down this hole where we can't have something equivalent to or comparable to the other zone?
Yes. And when we said shall there, it locks us a little.
I don't have words than that, just the concept came to mind.
You can say should instead of shall.
So one of the things that we thought as we were drafting this is that is you could simply go to the
table
traffic engineering table, which I have a copy of. It's just a big Excel spreadsheet, and you plug in the square feet of a building for a given use, and it tells you this is how many automobiles are stepped into the engineering based on the size of the building, or square feet. It could be square feet, or it could be number of units, and how many parking buildings, and so forth. And so you thought about, hey, we'll just say, you know, 500 automobile trips or less. That's what we mean by medium intensity. Anything more than that, we consider that high intensity. And having an actual standard. I got pushed back from the other council members.
Well, no, but having an absolute standard versus a relative standard, which is what we've got here, might be advantageous to us.
Yeah, I mean, because what we're trying to accomplish here is we're trying to accomplish certain types of uses that will generate less traffic. Like a florist would be a lot less traffic than McDonald's. Right? That's the idea.
Well, the other fact on this too is we're say, let's say for example we have something in the neighborhood retail zone that at the time that was going to be a lot of traffic, right? It's on the main road, and for whatever reason, over time, the stores end up being there or unpopular, nobody wants to shop there. But Mickey's office retail zone, we haven't had a lot of great stores, and nobody wants to shop there. And so it ends up having more traffic than the other section. So, or something really super popular goes into the mixed use office retail, whatever it might be, that would draw more traffic than the other, we would be essentially limiting them, saying, sorry, you can't counter because you can't have more traffic.
This is what we struggle with. Like, what if cafe gave a size to come into that area?
Right.
We would all be like, jumping over ourselves and say, yeah, we don't have that.
Okay. Right. And I don't know how to, I know that it's a struggle to come up with the right nomenclature to address that, because you want that zone to be of less intensity.
Yes. And I
but certainly you
right
still want
to
be successful.
This is the use table. So the high intensity uses are just not listed in that zone. Like a gas station, like a fast food restaurant. And so if you just say zoning, those uses are not listed there.
Right.
And so we can afford to be a little bit looser with the turnout here and just say something like, shall generally be a lower intensity? Because we're just trying to express intent. And when it comes to the rubber meeting road, it's
the table.
So we say fewer automobile trips, and let's say we're down the road, neighbor retail has been well established, it's, you know, something went in there 8 years ago, but we haven't developed mixed use office retail yet. But let's say it hasn't been developed yet, and there's a well established number of how many automobile trips there are in neighbor retail, or whatever it is. Whatever comes here has to be less than that.
Yeah, we just want to avoid that.
So
that.
So we're basically allowing that zone to create a standard for this zone, not knowing what's going to come in either zone.
Yeah.
And maybe it's fine the way it's worded, and we'll deal with the consequences since we can't come up with all the.
Oh, I think Daniel suggested rewording it to instead of a shall. So I guess it should generally be. Is it not what you suggested? Something.
Yeah, I said shall generally have both.
Yeah. And I think right there, then we're okay. We're not having to be one or the other.
You stop with the word shall. That's okay. I'll buy that. Good suggestion. We'll get that channel.
Is this a mixed use office?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that.
Okay. Don't be afraid to jump in and say stuff.
3.13, mixed use office paragraph. I have nothing here.
I just had one comment. You mentioned specifically building heights, and yet the building height's the same for all the zones. 3rd line.
Oh, yes. That's copied over from the old.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Because the building heights are the same for all three zones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't differentiate
us. Probably change the building size.
Building size or building scale.
Size and scale. Yeah.
Would be fine there. But the heights are the same. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
3.2. Finally, the table.
The table.
Permitted and conditional uses. Opening paragraph. So we're saying here, no building or structure of land shall be used, or no building or structure shall be hereafter erected except as allowed. So this obviously points to banks and credit unions. And when we say land shall be used, let's say Chase Bank closes their bank location and Wells Fargo wants to buy it. And they ask for a conditional use permit to continue on the bank. We're saying here that we can't visit that.
Right? No, they can't, because the green for exception means not permitted except for existing buildings and businesses.
Doesn't say business, it says buildings.
Yeah.
So no building, structure, or land shall be used.
So in other words, hereafter, if Chase closed, it was closed for 10 years, somebody raised it. It was an empty field. And then somebody came in and wanted to build a new bank on the same spot. Technically, we would say no.
Right.
Future planning commission would then back and say, now we're ready for the bank. Right.
So the thing is, except as allowed. So the initial bank we have is exempt, but future banks are not exempt.
Right.
Even though they might use the same structure.
No, if mm-hmm. no, that falls with the building. The sentence here says the building carries that exemption.
Conditional use is run with the land. So keep that in mind. Conditional use is run with the land.
Yeah.
So we've exempted the land, not just the building?
No, that land has been designated and approved for a bank. So if Chase leaves and, let's say, Zions kind of wants to come in, that conditional use runs with the land there.
Yes.
But why does Zions need a conditional use permit? You're not building anything.
No, it's just the use.
So use permit, not building permit.
It's just the use permit to operate in the
collection. So we should say except for existing approved uses.
Yeah. So, I think we're fine for what it's there. So anybody that wants to operate in the commercial zone needs to have a conditional use
permit. I just don't want to have the agenda. An empty bank building not allowing somebody to come in.
No, yeah. This is not intended. It's just intended to prevent a third bank coming in.
Yeah. Well, technically a second bank, haven't they?
So yeah, they've been approved prior to the year 2016.
But they've let their...
it's
lapsed.
We're still really allowing them in because that bank owns that land.
They purchased the land, but it's not like they're under contract for it. They purchased it with the understanding
that they might come back.
Okay, all right.
The city council has the prerogative to extend extensions.
Not at this point, it's expired.
Yes, expired.
It is expired.
But this language is intended.
The option for extension is gone.
So this goes with the land, not with the building.
It says except for existing buildings or those that have been approved prior to year 2016, and that's why they have not asked.
Okay. All right.
So you want to be friendly to the bank that we approved.
Okay. So the table itself, one question I had, just a larger question was, so we have these code numbers now, which came from the land.
I have a separate document for that, which I can share with you.
So I was thinking we should maybe make that as an addendum. Does that be this document? I guess.
Maybe.
So I don't know if we should
I guess, because we cite the land use code numbers, but we don't.
I intend to have it be a separate document, this document cites, okay, and we'll have to get that.
So people can infer that.
We should have done that today, and I didn't think of that.
One question I had was the description you have, so you have the code number and the description, is the descriptions here verbatim from that document, or did we come up with our own descriptions?
They are verbatim.
Why do you need the number then?
Because it helps, because the table is very, very long in this document, it lists all these numbers in sequential order, so it helps find it in the document, that's what we're going to do this for. But also, you'll see other numbers in the document that are not listed in the table, which helps you as a planning commission know, oh, that use is not approved because it's not listed in the table, you better match this use in our land use tables.
There's also definitions in that document. You've kind of that.
There are also
what the use is.
So
that needs to be incorporated in.
Yes.
Did we reference it in the paragraph prior?
So we should the paragraph prior. The paragraph prior.
Land use code. Numbers.
It says numbers in the use column. We probably should say the numbers in the use column and description. Descriptions are listed in the land use, so people know the description also came from that.
Mm-hmm.
So we could add that.
I think we've got something here.
Hmm?
He's got something here. Numbers in the use column are listed in the land use code numbers document.
Right.
He's just asking to add a little bit to it.
I'm saying that. So I'm saying the numbers and descriptions. It's that descriptions in there too, not just the numbers only, it's the descriptions in that column, that chart as well. It also comes right off. That's all it is. So, in the chart itself, I'm sure everybody has something to say. Who wants to go first? I've got my comment list here, but who would like to bring it in?
As a general thought for the whole document, I'd sure like to see a lot more P's and less C's, and then have our standards be restrictive, very restrictive, so that we know we have a feet to stand on, and so it doesn't seem arbitrary if we say we just don't like that.
Yes. I can go through many of the C's where if you ask me, why is that a C? I can tell you our thinking behind it.
Okay.
And then we could argue about whether that could be codified as a requirement, and therefore the C term changes to a P. Or whether you really think, as we were talking about today, whether that's a general condition, I don't know what I might need to impose, and so I can make that a condition. And I would probably agree with you most of these things.
I think one of the process. Sorry, I think one of the things to consider is in looking at these uses, you need to understand what is the detrimental impact of the use.
Yes.
You know, and so.
That's exactly what we had in mind as we did this, right?
Okay, yeah, so
we're
looking,
example,
what's
if you talk about, like, hardware stores.
Sure.
Right? What we're thinking is, well, that could be a really small neighborhood hardware store, or it could be a really big one, which means it could generate traffic, it could generate truck deliveries. Gee, we should make that a conditional use and make sure that those are compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. Or you can say, no, I can codify deliveries and I can codify traffic as requirements and just put restrictions on our site, or your building can be limited to no more than 25,000 square feet, which we have in here.
Right. Well, this is kind of what I was thinking,
right.
Is if those are codified, then
shielded, right? And so maybe you could argue that C could turn to a P.
Yeah, no, so if the detrimental effects cannot be codified or listed out in standards, then I think it needs to stay a C.
That's right.
Right, so I think that's just something to consider.
That's right. And so this is why I'm thinking some of these things can turn to P's.
Yeah.
The hardware stores, if you read through the rest of the document, we already put stuff in there about deliveries.
You've already made it so that a Home Depot can't come in here. A Home Depot's not going
to
work.
Building size to
right.
25K,
they can come here.
No, I was talking specifically in the office retail, which is what
yes.
we're talking about here, on the hardware store, because it's already permitted in the neighborhood.
They would make, like Walmart has made many Walmarts, they would put in the Home Depot.
And that would be fine as long as they meet the standards,
right.
and the conditions that we've
right.
imposed. Then it's just permitted because the
yes.
conditions are.
And this is exactly
generic.
The conversation I want to have is should we be turning these C's to P's because we've thought of the mitigating conditions and we've already turned them into requirements such as loading dock, delivery hours, and
size,
really,
all the other things.
We're really benefiting there from the Walmart, So when Walmart came in and we had this long list of conditional uses being imposed on them, we can just read off of that document and say, well, how did we deal with loading docks? How did we deal with delivery hours? And we can then just codify those and say those are our standards.
I have a little different view of price. So I do have a few C's here that I suggest we change to G's, so I do have some of that, but I feel like we're kind of on the hills of some training, right? Some suggested training. It was good training, but I don't know that we have to take all of it to heart, right? We have to totally put out that paddle all at once. I feel like we're taking a step in the direction of, we're taking a step in the direction of allowing a lot of committed things here, especially in the neighborhood retail zone. So we are going down this path. I just wonder if we should experience that path for a while and then decide if we should change more of these. I just feel like I look at each one of these that are in the office retail in particular that are conditional use. I'm trying to imagine, trying to think of all things that we may not think of. And if we want to, the word safeguard office retail zone, because it's more impactful on the neighborhood and neighbors there, and because it's location, we want to leave in the C so we have more ability to place conditions, not knowing what type of establishment's going to come. I also get the contrary, where developers want to be able to apply for something and know upfront everything and not have a lot of conditions placed on paper. I get that as well.
They're going to know everything. They're going to know the rules to play by if the standards are outlined clearly.
Right.
So. And we need to do that. But let me play devil's advocate here. So I'm going to come and I'm going to offer senior assisted living in the office retail zone. And I go through your document and I say, look, I see that you've listed all your conditions here under 3.2.2 or 3. I don't know what that was. There's that duplicate there. But I'm going to follow all your criteria there. Is that enough? Or is there other criteria that you're not listing? If that's enough, then I would argue make it a permitted use. If I'm going to follow all that list, if I'm going to follow all of that, all those requirements, make it a permitted use. If there's other things, if there's other standards that need to be upheld, what are they? Where are we coming up short?
And that's the part we don't know, right? I mean, on the surface, it seems like seniors is living pretty straightforward. I can't imagine anything right now that they would want to do that would be out of the ordinary and standard, right? But what if, right? Well, if there is something in their application, it is something we want.
So what is that? What is that thing?
I will say that I've seen that frequently in code. So in the same Murray City code that we copied conditional uses from, they say specifically that assisted living facilities are permitted in this zone, but the exact same building is conditional in this other zone.
Yep.
And it's because this one is in a mixed use zone and the other one is in a residential zone.
There may be clear delineation between their zones and ours where one is a block away and there's not a whole lot of, let's say, you would drive by and say, oh, this is two different sub-districts.
I'll give you an example. So we, in the past, had somebody apply to build a building in that zone, and during some of our meetings, we talked about conditions for that approval. An example was, in one of the iterations, we emphasized we would like to have fewer windows on this side of the building so they don't stare down the backyards of all the neighbors. So an example. Okay, so the neighbors have all privacy. Well, the developer came back and redesigned the building, and there were end caps now instead of windows, actual apartment space in the residence. That's just an example. So if that's just an example of something that we'd be unable to mitigate if we just simply say senior assisted living is permitted. So I'm just trying to think of examples.
And we were generally concerned with things like traffic. So like you see a key for shopping centers and parking stores and neighborhood, and it's additional office retailers are worried, okay, what starts to get close to residences that's the one maybe there's most of the keys on the left, and you see a C on the right, it's for that reason I'm worried about traffic or deliveries, primarily many hazardous chemicals and things for what I can say.
But this is my point, is do we know, in this case, are we stating the conditions beforehand?
In some cases we are, if it's permitted.
But how do we know the conditions if we don't know the application? So we would have known the condition of move your windows unless we've seen the application. So the standard there is we must protect privacy of the neighboring residential area.
Well, how do you do that? How do you tell them that?
Right, that's the condition.
If the standard is protect privacy,
then the condition.
They come in and say, oh, look, these wonderful windows, and we go, no, 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 this standard is not met. We haven't been done that. So you have a leg to stand on. We can say you can't do this. You can't have an observation tower on your building.
That's the case when you would do conditional uses.
I'm agreeing with you.
And I don't know how to enforce that standard uniformly across any building that might ever be put.
Right. Does that mean no windows can face south there? I mean, is that what we're saying? Or is it the third floor no windows can face south? Because the third floor typically it's going to be a residential use up there.
Right, so these are the things that would distinguish conditional use where you can't anticipate those until you see the
design. So then, do we want to take what we've listed as conditions and make them more generalized standards?
Only if you can think of everything in the world.
We always want to listen to our lawyer when he raises his hand.
Well, I think it might clarify things in 3.2.1. Instead of calling these conditions for residential uses, you call them requirements. In other words, these are permitted uses. However, even the permitted uses have to meet these requirements. In addition, though, if something is a conditional use, you want the ability to come up with new conditions that meet your specific issues, mm-hmm. and you don't lock yourself down to, you know, these harder requirements, where if you meet them, you qualify.
Which gets sense 3.2.5. Where we do say for all conditional uses, these are some of the standards. We need to safeguard public health, safety, and general welfare.
Right.
Environmental significance limitations, right? So maybe we need those privacy there, and the planning commission should help us figure out.
What section was that?
3.2.4. It's off numbered.
I did fix that one, but.
Oh, okay.
Yes. 3.2.4, very last one in section 2.
Got it. All right.
Anyway, my thought process is not knowing. I just feel like we're taking a little bit of a step here if they're permitted, and we've defined all these things that if they meet, they're permitted, right? We've said that we're allowing that more in the neighborhood retail zone than elsewhere. Elsewhere, we're being a little more selective, trying to say, hey, you know, it's
okay. Well, let me bring something up there then. If there's you're protecting the neighbors on the mixed use, the mixed use office. But what are you doing in the commercial zone to protect the neighbors on that side? You said there's different standards for those two.
Right. I think that. So this is my.
This is a good point. This gets to the design of the planning commission. Yeah. Shape.
Yeah.
And what you're getting at is because there, if you list conditional uses there, now we can list things like privacy, where we can't codify it ahead of time. Whereas if we don't have that company shape, then you have permitted uses, and all that you can do is requirements such as setbacks.
Does anybody else know why?
And you're right, it doesn't make any sense to treat the residences
different
of that area differently than the residents of the other area.
Right.
So we ought to think about how we impose conditional uses on things without turning everything into a C, because everything is fairly close to the residences.
Can I
help
you?
I would like to.
Thank you.
So that's the thorny issue.
So all that cuts against the district concept, in essence.
Maybe you make the district the way you guys think it is, but you have to make sure that you're not somehow locking up the developer.
I think the thought process was that this is my opinion. I think maybe we probably differ a little bit on that zone in the context that that's our, of all the zones we have, that's the zone that has the most traffic, which is probably most appealing to a developer who wants to put in box store or maybe. And having that dog leg we had before takes off the east end of that. It has a different different requirements, right, than the front end. And so is that, how does the developer look at that? You know, you can't go in places to develop. And so the process of what the process would be more attractive, and our goal is to attract developers. And
that's not a short-term goal, though.
It's the primary goal.
Right, no.
It's the primary goal to attract development, commercial development in that part of the zone.
We've also stated in that there's also a goal to protect the neighborhood.
Right.
And even if there's only seven of them right there.
Right, so I think that's where the 30 feet comes in, and maybe the buffering and other mitigating factors that would be defined. But
I think
but
to
require put different commercial zone sub-district on the back end of that, in my opinion, would impact attracting the developers.
I understand that, but I think that the buffering ought to be the exact same for mixed use office neighbors as it is for the commercial.
Right, it is a 30 feet, right?
Yeah, those are the
same. Well, I'm saying some are, it's permitted there. It's permitted in a commercial, but
conditional on the other.
Right around the corner.
Right.
So they're not going to be treated the same, right? Because
well,
businesses that can go there are going to be different than go here.
That's true.
So is it just the setbacks or the only protection that's the same?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but
well,
there's more than just setbacks.
Yeah.
Other mitigating factors in the document. But
there's setbacks, there's loading docks,
there's
the walls,
work parking,
right.
I'm
just hearing that we have to protect the mixed use neighbors and those other neighbors.
So it's 9:30 and we need to get through this. So, but we also have to golf be
catching fast.
So let's start with the chart. That would be best. So the very first one, 1113, single family dwelling attached to commercial use. I had a little concern here. Again, I'm being granular, but does that allow someone to apply for a single family dwelling that happens to have a limited scale that sells limited? It's attached to commercial use. So do we want to allow a single family dwelling?
No, I think in section 3.2.1, he very specifically identifies that exact use and says, here are the restrictions with that. So no,
right.
You can't get away with a home with a limited standout front.
I know it's talked about language about 50% and
first floor, second floor, that sort of thing.
Right.
It's
pretty
restrictive there.
So maybe we should put a little asterisk there and slide that clause of it. My first thought was, why would we allow single family dwelling and just attach some type of commercial use to it, no matter what it is?
There's two pages of conditions on that.
So is everybody fine with that category C? Blank, C, blank. Congregate care, the next line. Yes, I'm safe. Sorry.
No, that was...
So when it says question mark, what is the final answer there?
So, I took away the question marks.
Oh.
So, I believe the March 29th draft.
I'm looking at,
you're looking at Jeff Dodge's draft, it looks like.
March 29th draft. Took away the question mark there.
Okay.
So, congregate care, so we don't allow congregate care in the neighborhood retail, even as a conditional use, even though the council previously found it substantially the same as senior assisted living. So what I'm getting at is should we allow congregate care in the office district not since it's substantially the same as? Or are we going to try to forget we ever stated such a thing and not include it in the document and update our position on that? I presume it was intentional of that office.
Yes. So any interpretation Planning Commission or Council make on so at that time it felt, you know, this is our very, very first development in commercial zone. We can start bringing in this mixed uses, and so this is how to do it.
Begs the question, should we just make it an E then?
That's a good question. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
It sounds like the same thing as the banks to me, so.
Maybe E and, well.
It exists, so you can't hardly just not permit it.
That's what E's intended for.
And maybe you should be C in office. What if the Charleston wants to change their business model someday due to competitive factors for senior assisted living and they want to compound their care instead? For example.
You're very good at thinking of corner cases, as we call them in the computer science world.
I try to think of the future. But, I mean, if we put a C there and the office would come to care, then that.
Yeah, then that.
Similar to the bank situation. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, C in office.
For congregate? Mm-hmm. You could do that and just leave the C in the senior assisted living and we're good.
So you want to put an E on office and primary care?
We
haven't discussed that.
Well, we did. That's what I proposed, but
right.
We haven't decided yet.
Yeah, I think one of the corner cases I thought of is what if the new owner takes ownership of Lexington Knights office buildings, decides that's their own business model, levels it, says all the primary care in this business, or versus living or anything else. Right now that it's allowed it. So we end up not really following the intent of the zone, which is now the whole thing is kind of fixed right now.
That's probably a good thing, right? If it's a bad business model, probably a bunch of empty buildings, and in terms of eyesore.
Yeah, but I'd rather they came to the council and say, we'd like the zoning change here.
Yeah. They got the zoning change?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a great discussion. But I feel like I'm not contributing a lot to it. I'm wondering if I ought to just be excused and maybe work with Chandler to incorporate these changes, if that's okay.
Thanks for coming.
I'm happy to stay if you'd like me to.
I think we're fine. I think we can write down any questions we have.
Write down any questions. Any suggestions, I'll make note of, and we can sit down and talk on the phone.
Yeah, I have some other comments, later in the document.
And why don't I can just plan on giving you a call either probably Monday or Tuesday.
Great.
Okay?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Sure. Thank you.
We've got two conflicting corner cases.
I'm fine with the way it is, but it's you guys can talk about it. And we have one person who wants it to be something.
I just proposed it. I don't even know that I want it to be an E. It was just something I threw out there.
Why do you want E?
If we're trying to get away from congregate care and/or assisted living, there putting an E avoids the change of the Lexington Heights building to something else. They can be assisted living there forever. I mean that's what the E does. It just keeps anybody
the
else.
Charleston.
The Charleston.
Talking about an E in office retail or office?
Office.
Office. I'm putting office retail.
No, office. Office.
Okay.
Because that's where it is now, is in the office.
I don't know. I'm fine with Charleston where it is. It's great. I don't have a problem. But that one's moving there. In a different name.
E seems restricted to me.
What? I'm fine with it. I just.
Okay. Moving on then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Playing glass wallpaper. There's a C in the neighborhood. I kind of wonder why not P here?
That's a good question. And I think our thinking there was storage hazardous materials, and we should put some issues for hazardous materials.
I believe those conditions are in the document, though.
Yeah,
pretty clear.
I mean,
Aren't there also state regulations on the disposal and storage of hazardous materials?
Absolutely.
So
very restrictive with paint.
We're not going to be breaking ground here.
No.
So P?
I think P in the neighborhood.
See, we're so
permissive.
We're so out front, you know, on this that we can change paint to a P. All right. I don't have any thoughts until shopping centers. Trying to speed the process a little bit.
What is defined by shopping center? Could you say on our other design that we don't want strip mall?
Right, if that's a structure. So the strip mall concept was a physical description of a building,
right,
not the type of stores. So we would allow shopping centers, department stores to come here as long as they didn't look like a strip mall, right? They had to have separate buildings.
Okay. What's that look like? You can hardly think of one that's
a strip mall. It'd be like if the Dollar Store and the other one were kind of connected in the L shape and took up that whole.
Okay.
Area. That would turn it into a strip mall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be a smaller one, but.
John Mishler.
Without the separation.
You know, the
picture,
walk long.
Picture almost where the Ridley though is over in Highland.
Yeah.
You have various shops.
Right.
One can come in, one can come out, one can be vacant, the whole thing can be operating.
Right, but I'm trying to think. I've never seen one that's just a shopping center that is not a strip mall. You seen anything like that?
Well, like a standalone Kohl's.
Okay.
Standalone Smith's grocery store in the back.
Christmas market, that's yourself.
Discount department stores, I was wondering if that includes pawn shops.
I can check my land use codes.
That's separate thing.
Boom. 5930, I think, would be closer to that. Antiques and secondhand merch. No.
Secondhand merchandise?
Is that into the pawn shop?
Sure.
Yeah. Along with goodwills and stuff like that. It depends on what's in the land use code document.
Right. Well, whatever that says, I would like to exclude pawn shops and some.
Yeah, I guess we're. Based on these super abbreviated descriptions,
yeah, so
I think that would be a 5930.
So pawn brokers are listed as totally different use code 6122.
And we have not got it in here.
But it's not in there. Okay.
They are excluded.
Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
So I don't have any different until 5400. Does anyone else have anything different until 5400? So I have changing that to a P in a region for food, grocery. It's such a grocery store. Why not make that a P in the neighborhood retail?
Well, I think the only thinking there was traffic. If we put in a big Smith's marketplace, we want to look at traffic a little bit and see if there are efficiency in the game.
I think.
But can I throw in Mike to get us a suggestion from last council meeting? What's the traffic measure that you're going to use to mitigate that increase in traffic? I mean, you're not going to widen 4800 or widen Cedar Hills Drive or put a semaphore on a road that's not ours. So what's if we can't actually control the measure?
Right, in which case you might actually deny it and say,
okay,
you've done a traffic study, you've shown that all of our intersections are going to be level service F and we don't have any capacity to expand. Sorry, we have to deny it.
Okay.
That would give you the ability.
Just had to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, and I
don't think a grocery store is going to do that.
I don't think so either. I can go either way on this one.
I don't think grocery store is going to want to build there.
Yeah,
close
so
competition.
I was thinking change that to P or other skills. That's okay or not. But.
Great.
So the A change it to P.
I agree with that.
My next change is not the one that's page 5810. Does anyone else have anything for 5810?
Hold on.
This goes back to the definition document, but again, the food consumed on premises, restaurants, again, are we excluding fast food? I don't know, the next one is drive-through and fast food, but what if a restaurant has, again, takeout,
all food must be, under this definition, the food must be consumed on the premises, right?
Seems
not allowing anybody to consume food.
But is the impact, I don't see the impact being any different than if somebody ordered Chili's takeout, pulled up in 15 minutes, or ate in there. There's zero difference.
They're both coming and going.
They're both coming, they're going to both get there, park their car, leave for a fixed amount of time, the other car, go back in their car. There's no difference. It's not a drive-thru, so I'd say there's no.
Well, in theory, there's more trips to the takeout. Because if you sit down and your meal takes an hour, if you're doing takeout, you could have four trips in that hour.
True. But is four trips an hour enough to justify?
I'm not gonna answer that question. There is a slight difference.
So everybody's fine with PE there, it sounds like. Not conditional use.
I'm okay.
I think we should require to be seafood restaurant. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. So.
Sorry, I want Chinese, but that's me.
Like a really nice sit down pizza. Good one. You might get one.
Was that a blanket invitation?
He's just bragging about his pizza.
He doesn't want to exclude anybody, for sure. So I don't have any changes until 5969, farm and garden supplies.
Mm-hmm. That one,
I can see the premise of reason for a C there, but I also wonder if, given that the neighborhood retail zone is kind of our most intense zone, maybe that should be a P, but leaving it what it is too.
I think I understand the C on that one, because farm and garden supplies, with farm supplies you end up with smelly things.
Farm animals too, you're saying?
And manure and this and that and the other.
Compost pile and bacteria.
Yeah. However, I think that's pretty tightly regulated later on. I mean, you've written a couple of places about odors.
Yeah.
And been very clear about that, and storing things outside, which is just not permitted.
There's also the potential for pesticides.
I hadn't even thought about that. Which, again, I think it goes in with the pollution, though. That would be a
well, problem. So we dealt with that with the Highland Nursery a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With the neighbors that had the fence line, mm-hmm, and the proximity to them spraying and storing things closer to that fence than the lanes and the bushes wanted.
We want to make that a blank.
Well, I think you can handle the condition. But
okay.
I think there's
saving it all together, since that zone does abut neighborhood retail or neighborhood zone, right? Maybe you don't want any kind of activity at all. We can say work.
I think you can handle the conditions.
Okay.
I think they won't necessarily permit it.
I'm fine with that.
The next plot I had was on 6097 bottles, and those had something sooner than that.
I was just a little curious about why portrait photography was not in the neighborhood retail.
It could be like a Rick's photography, like a studio in a retail space.
What
is
that?
6221.
No.
I'm going to guess because it's not really a... Because
it doesn't generate
a lot of text. We're trying to attract big box store potential, right? Or,
well, we're trying to generate retail sales.
Retail sales.
Okay.
They charge sales tax on property, but they don't do rent on every day, right? There's only so much. I mean, that's really doing a day as compared to some other kind of store. I find it being blank, but I can see...
Just got a question about it.
So, do gymnasiums, athletic clubs, bodybuilding studios, and spas, do they generate sales tax at all? Mm-hmm. Well, do they buy memberships?
Mm-hmm. And memberships for sales tax, but that's about it.
They may not provide a lot of sales tax revenue either, some good progress.
They take up a lot of space, and it seems like their memberships are getting cheaper.
I mean, customers, how much is accessible one even has? 200 people, 300 people go there annually? I don't know, 1,000?
Okay. They probably just take that off and not.
So they get a blank?
Yeah.
Now that.
So you want to talk about sales tax transactional activity than they might generate there?
Would dance studios be considered in that group?
Pretty close.
I didn't see him someplace else. He's got the table. Is that a searchable table, by the way? Is it got good?
Another thought that I had is a lot of people that do go to the gym, they kind of combine errands with that trip to this to Walmart or to the restaurant, pick up food and stuff. And so if it's a draw for other things, draw people in, from Highland or whatever, plus a girl. So I mean, for the gym, I go to
don't have dance studio. Didn't we have a dance studio thing going on in Lexington Heights?
Yeah. It's a lower impact thing. It's probably not something you want in that neighborhood either, in terms of maximum use of that.
So where are we on that? Blank. It's fine in the next zone.
Is it still there in Lexington Heights? It's gone, right?
Blank? Yes,
I'm okay, blank, right?
Yeah.
Breaking up gymnasiums on.
Yes, 6297.
Completely?
Just in the neighborhood.
Just in the
neighborhood.
Just in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Alright. I have nothing until 7110. So earlier we stated public property, whatever. Thank you. Public facilities are allowed, right? In neighborhood retail, that we decided. But here we're saying cultural activities like libraries, museums, and art galleries just are not. I guess what the city wanted on a library. It there or a museum like an awesome museum like some science thing that I always want to go to, it could be like an OMSI or an OMSI in Portland. So,
Sorry, something
like that here where it actually draws a lot of people. Something about what do you guys think? So, right now it's not allowed at all in that zone. I just thought it's going to kind of contrary to the civic comment earlier.
Could we throw a C on that one then?
Good.
Right. And
why not be?
I think you'd rather have that kind of a activity be off 4800. I think it's actually better off 4800.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't derive as much sales tax revenue as something else.
But if it. I think you use it as, if you make something like that, it's a draw. People will come to it because they like to come to it. And then, lo and behold, there's the restaurants and the other stuff right there by it, which they will then.
The example of conditional use might be the have to demonstrate that they would derive so much in sales tax revenue. That'd be a shop. And what's that be a shop?
Yeah.
So you think of like Thanksgiving point, if we could go to a museum, maybe with a shop and a restaurant, or right?
So C? C on 7110 channel?
Yeah. Okay. So it's going to go CPC?
Yes.
CPC, yeah. Next one I have is 7611, unless somebody else says something in this one.
I have a question about one that's not on there, so we'll get to it in a minute.
Okay. So I had instead of conditional use, I was going to say blank. We're not going to allow parks.
This is where I was going to say that it would be prudent for the city to leave that as conditional. Because that city's land is purchased with parkland impact, or parkland development fees.
What we don't want is someone coming and saying, you have to return all those impact
fees. You have no intention of developing a park.
Not
a park. All right. So we're going to get that.
Okay. Okay, I don't have anything that's on the table. Is there anything not on the table? Do you want to include the table?
Just, what about something like a weight loss center? A place you go, but Curves or Weight Watchers or some such. I think they're different from gyms, aren't they? Okay.
So in the land use codes,
yeah,
they're organized hierarchically.
Okay.
Right, so everything retail is in one place, and then they break out retail into categories and then subcategories. Right?
Okay.
So when it says 6297, which is?
That's in, it's a subcategory to a gym?
When it's 4 digits long, that's a subcategory, right?
Yeah.
6290 is the parent category for personal services. And so 6291 includes clothing rental, 6292 is costume rental, 6294 is escort service, 6295 is tattooing, right? And so we narrow this down and say, like, here's the subcategory that we want, gyms.
Okay.
And then there's a catch-all, which is 6299 is any other personal service that doesn't fit in this category, right? And that includes babysitting bureaus, rental of beach chairs, infant supplies, pillows, marriage bureaus, reducing salons, receptions, wedding chapels, etc.
Reducing salons?
Which could be a weight loss. I mean, you have to argue where weight loss would go, right?
Yeah.
And so we tended to not put in those because we were worried that they were catch-alls.
Yeah, it's a big bucket.
And
okay.
We tended to focus on the narrower categories.
So if somebody came in and wanted to put a Weight Watchers in the mixed use, what would we do?
We could say that's similar to a gymnasium, and we could say we think you fit in that category.
Okay, then I'm fine. Then I'm fine.
Because it's related
what?
To health.
Health club is there in that category? That does not.
Oh, that's true. That's
yeah,
true.
Health club
okay, and you could call that a health club. All right.
That is a bodybuilding studio. Just matches in bodybuilding.
Building it differently.
Yes.
Okay.
That's awesome. All right, I know we're 10
yes.
o'clock, we're very late, so I guess my question is, we still need to do Dollar Tree, because they want to come on April 7th.
Okay.
You want to keep plugging away here?
When's your next planning commission meeting?
End of April.
Let's
hold a special meeting.
Which is the 26th?
We
call
a special meeting.
I'm just advising you. My advice would be instead of a lot to go through,
right.
Schedule another special planning commission.
Yeah.
Now in the middle of April, so you can get the best ones you can.
We've already
next
week on gets longer than
the city council to adopt.
Next week is spring break. Who's in town?
I'll be here.
We're going.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Tuesday I'm here. Next couple of weeks are pretty difficult. I mean, just the increasing chair, there's all these cottage and all this stuff.
I'm in town next week. Pretty great, but if we get to that, we're expecting a baby, so we might not have to have that.
Just tell her to.
I know where my priorities are, so we can schedule it that week. So.
Bring the baby.
Have it delivered here.
Permitted use.
I'd want to say whatever on that. I'd want to be here. Yeah. And
so the week of April 11th, is that too soon, as I was saying?
Yeah, we could be.
It's too soon?
It's going to be.
So we go April 18th.
That's getting into the lane. Can we shoot for... Is next week too soon for people?
I can do next week.
Next Thursday. I know we're not going to get a quorum. Or I know we're
not
going to get
the
body.
So
here's another possibility.
Are you going?
I think a lot of people are going.
We have a city council meeting this Tuesday where we're considering the document. We could just invite you guys to come.
That's a good idea.
Continue to plow through it.
Yeah.
That's next Tuesday?
It's coming Tuesday.
Can we pick
that's
up?
You're going to be gone though, right?
That special meeting?
No.
Schedule regularly scheduled.
Chairman, are you gone?
I thought it was the schedule.
I'm there. So are you suggesting we just pick up right where we live off tonight?
Yeah.
Say, okay, council, this is where we're starting?
Yeah.
April 5th.
And then if the council wants to consider the rest of it, we can dismiss the planning commission.
Well, we can probably do that in a work session beforehand, because we don't really have a whole lot on the agenda.
We should continue in the council meeting. We need to adjust the agenda so it comes first. So you guys
I think that's a good idea.
So, April 5th, we're talking about.
Okay.
We've got a work session at 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock. So, do I hear a motion to table this agenda item until April 5th at 6 p.m. at the council
joint meeting with the planning commission. Let me use my motion I just said. That's my motion, I just said the motion, I think. Is it in all in favor?
No, you have to give a second. I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Okay, next agenda item. Review action on a condition use permit for Dollar Tree operating the SC1 commercial zone.
Yes, so Dollar Tree is nearing completion. You've seen them go up, loading their inventory into their store. They're looking to open up next week. And they do need a conditional use permit from the city in order to operate, so that's where we're here. Now, there are certain conditions already in place in their development agreement. Let me just quickly go through those. In the development agreement, just so you guys are aware, there's certain standards of conditions that we placed on in earlier tonight. Just wanted you to bring up the speed of what was determined for Dollar Tree. There are sound levels established that limit decibel levels. There are traffic measures that were imposed. They're ADA compliant. There's hours of delivery between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. No overnight parking. There's a clause on the marketing and maintenance of the site. There's clauses on the signage and site appearance, maintenance of the facility, snow removal, lighting. There's so much of what we would normally discuss as far as a conditional use in these cases for uses down in the commercial zone are usually stipulated in the development agreement that's approved at the final plat approval. So in this case, those have been approved. So are there any questions as far as Dollar Tree is concerned?
I have one question,
and that's about originally that was designed to have the whole corner developed out, and the traffic flow and everything was defined around that,
right,
including a road that went to the east of the facility now. Since that road splits the property.
The traffic, it's a good question.
What happened with that?
The traffic is on the Smart's property, on the east side, so they can't go on and I know there was talk about trying to get the Smart family to work with Amsource and vice versa.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion there, but I don't think anything happened.
Nothing happened with that, so
okay.
That road is not going in, but the traffic, I believe that the traffic study that they did is independent of that road because they placed Jersey barriers at the end of that road to limit traffic flow. So the traffic patterns that you see on the traffic study only incorporate the current ingress egresses on the site.
I don't know if you noticed, there are lots of pickup trucks going through that area as a shortcut to get to.
That's always been the case, and we're always trying to figure out ways to. That's not the only place in the city that they do that.
Let's not pick up drivers.
Sorry.
Well, it's not Kia drivers, I'll guarantee you that.
I did sneak through there once.
This is a hard school.
I didn't zoom through, but I did go through there.
That's
right.
The dirt hill's been removed.
Sorry, you said you had some questions?
Yeah. So I visited Dollar Tree today just to check it out. Communication uses, okay, last kind of eyeball, one last time. Just a couple of questions. So I didn't have time to find it in the code anymore to see whether or not they met the code or not. Time was short, but I noticed the garbage dumpster is screened on all sides except for the east side, which is the most obvious and noticeable side for the public and the large. Do we require doors or
There should be a gate on that. I can check on that.
There is no gate.
They may not even be finished on that. Thing,
yeah.
So
after picture, there's no.
Do you want to just forward it to me?
So that'd be one of the things you should require as a gate as part of conditional use. It doesn't look like there's no starting gate at all. It's just nothing there. I did visit with the manager briefly, just asked what you guys all done. Is there anything else you're still trying to do, and she didn't know at all. So I don't know if someone's working on that or not still, or not. So there's no gate there. The other thought I had was on the west side of that building where everybody zooms through. I wonder if we should have them paint the gutter, the curbing red there, so nobody parks there, or signage, no parking. The store gets crowded, whatever, people might be tempted to park by the loading dock or park on the curbing there, just the bottom half. The road is fairly wide, but it's not wide enough that you really can accommodate parking.
Can we, I would suggest probably evaluating the site before making that recommendation, because I don't know that they may never ever reach capacity, but maybe it's something that may never occur.
Yeah, so it actually occurred while I was there today.
Well, I think they're unloading, so it's a unique circumstance of what's going on.
Yeah, anyway, car park on the side of the building and walk in the front door. Just, that's why I was even thinking of it, was that something like park there. It's wide enough to park because that loading dock is there, so it's kind of an open space there. There's a red curb and people may not park there. So that was something I thought of. I don't know if anybody else thinks that's a good or bad idea.
Could just be striped in the road, clear.
Could be. I just thought it would
paint the curb red, but to delineate lanes, turn lane, people pulling in and out, so it doesn't mean to your parking in the lane, so it's obviously a traffic violation.
Right. From the public safety standpoint, I don't know what this is on the exterior of the building. There's a precreting wire with duct tape over it. It could be cable telephone, as far as I know, or it could be electrical. I don't know what it is.
The same thing?
Yeah, so we might want to take care of that. Somebody gets hurt or something like that. So really, to me, it was the garbage and this wire and that parking was my observations. I forgot to look to see if there was curvy gutter in the flower bed or not. You know what it is? Don't know. I know our current guidelines on virtually every zone requires curvy gutter on the flower beds. I forgot to look for that when I was there. They did have a lot of parking. Trees and plants all look great. I thought it was sort of great. I said, ultimately, you're that's there. It's still, I just agree with this view.
Was the yellow color on the outside of the building, is that
there?
Exactly.
I didn't remember it being there.
That, I mean, it's kind of a tan. Are you talking about those tan squares?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's the curved elevation.
Yeah, the color didn't turn out the way I envisioned either, but. I'm fine with it.
That's
what it is. This observation I noticed from the design of the building, the drainage for the roof of the building, there's two water spouts on each side of the building. It's the only drainage they have, so that's interesting. They have maybe drainage for water off the roof anywhere else that I can see. And this one's not an architect, so this was kind of curious on that. But, to me, the conditional use should require them to put a fence. From the garbage can. And then I was supposed to suggest no parking or probably just red paint on that west side of the building for parking. Or someone may get a factor and then some retreating wire. This wire's on the east side of the building. That's all I have. Only should have to keep everything in a dollar in the store.
Live up to that name, right?
Is there a sprinkler system in that building at all?
Yeah, there would have to be.
So?
Yeah, there would have to be a commercial grade sprinkler system inside.
Is there a backflow on that? You know, camping?
I'm assuming that it just meets the current building IBC for commercial buildings. So, I don't go into inspecting.
Fire marshal does.
Fire marshal would and the building inspector would, and they both gave the CFO, so I'm assuming that they meet code. So I don't know what this wire is. Where is it again?
It's on the east side of the building. Near all the utility boxes and stuff.
That should be an inspection issue, right?
Yeah. So it could be nothing, could be something, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'll see something in picture.
Okay. A motion for approval, or do you want to discuss it some more?
I have just a procedural question. If we want them to put a
gate or a cover on that the garbage.
Or would we give them a conditional use permit and give them a time to do that? Or would we require them to do it before they can?
I would say the require the give them a conditional use permit and then say you just need to do this and then as a city just make sure they can follow up with them. You get in contact with them. And then follow up with them.
You could say subject to being accomplished prior to April 7th.
But I don't know if they have to order that from that game. I don't think they
that may not be fair to them.
Probably the customer.
The city will just follow up.
Yeah, follow up.
So were you in time to do it? And if they don't do it, they'll be a violation of their conditions.
Right,
essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Got a motion?
I'll make a motion. Are you for the CUP? You are on the train? Open it up. It was in close. Pending they meet the requirements. They fix the violence. They fix the violation.
Install a gate.
Install a gate. Check the wiring on the inside.
Install a gate.
On the dumpster.
Garbage dumpster pad location here.
And resolve the wiring issue on the east side of the building. And I don't know if we want to paint the stripes. Are we still discussing that? Or just make sure there's no parking along the west side of the building.
No,
take measures to
yeah, no
take
measures, yeah. Customer parking on the west side of the building. That work is a motion. We have a second.
A second motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. All right. The next item on the agenda is a discussion on Land Use Academy of Utah. This will be very quick. I asked this to be added to the agenda as a go-forward item. I thought that it'd be beneficial if we spend a little time in their website, their videos and training, things of that nature. So what I was thinking was is that we would rotate our assignment. So somebody here, if they'd like to volunteer, could be the first one. To go in there and pick topic, any topic, whatever it is. The next meeting we have will be on the agenda again, and you would basically present, tell us what the topic is about for like 5-10 minutes tops, just real brief education. So that allows, kind of gets us all in there, at least sporadically, and educates the group. So I guess any of that idea. That's what I thought on the agenda.
That's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
I like it. So if you want to volunteer to be the first tutor, you can go in and pick any topic you want in there and present it to the next application. And you can, it's really cliff note version, right? We're talking just, you know, 1.5 hour about the thing, we just want a quick, okay, this is the main point of that, or this is what I got out of that.
April's not a good month for me.
The last Thursday of the month?
I schedule a meeting, whatever that is. So
it's not too specific.
Not
too specific.
Not this one, no.
I will be leaving town.
Okay. I'll volunteer myself then.
Volunteer if somebody's not here.
I was gonna move that we do it in alphabetical order by last name.
Yeah.
I'll volunteer myself or make an assignment that people will volunteer when they accept.
Okay, said he was going to be here.
Yeah,
he
emailed me on Twitter. Sorry, I can't come after all.
Well,
what is the website address? Do you know?
Land Use Academy of
Utah. It's LU.
I had a funny name.
I had it right here.
Nuts, hold on. Land Use Academy of Utah. LUDMA, LUDMA. No, that's the act. Sorry.
I can find it in the land use.
There's a link on the Utah League of Cities and Towns website. Go to ulct.org.
It's,
and there's a link on the land use.
It's
LU
AU. LUAU.utah.gov.
Thank you.
Welcome.
or just Google Linux Academy. Yeah, Linux Academy.
That's how I found it.
Okay. Number 8, committee assignments and reports. We won't have this. We'll have some next meeting where somebody will fulfill their assignment of educating somebody on that topic. So that would be to adjourn our meeting.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
I second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
So just so you know, I normally as a chair, I don't like to go this long. This is very long. 9 o'clock.